Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody love Don and Mike.
I wonder if you're lonesome tonight. You know, someone said the world's a stage and each of us play a part. I had been here playing in for the plus tax. You read your lines so cleverly. You never missed a cue. They came back too. You forgot the words. Seemed to change, you fool. You acted strange. And why? I never know. Why ever did it? Honey, who am I talking to? You lied.
Well, hello!
I had no cause to doubt you. But I think I'm hearing your lies.
You can suck this.
And go on living without you.
You are incredibly immature.
And the stage is bare. And I'm standing.
What are you, a moron?
Without any hair.
Shut the F up.
You'll come back to me.
Are you a drunk? You going to try to do that with me?
Elvis Presley died today at Baptist Hospital in Memphis, Tennessee. Presley was 42 years old. He parlayed a $4 visit to a recording studio into a multi-million dollar career. He was rushed to the hospital late this afternoon, suffering from what officials say was respiratory distress. He'd been hospitalized several times in recent years for rest and for eye problems. His musical style and his showmanship kept teenage girls sighing and swooning in the late 1950s.
Elvis, there's a story I have to tell to the world that's never been told before. Elvis, one rainy, hot summer night here in Nashville, about 7 or 8 years ago, what you did for me will always be a part of my life forever, as you will be for millions. You see, I was sitting on the back steps of RCA's Studio B that hot summer night, I guess trying to get out of the rain, not knowing it was you inside the studio recording. When some man opened the door and I stood up, and he asked me if I would go after some candy bars. I guess maybe he thought I worked there as a cleanup boy or something, but I really didn't. When I got back to the studio door, the candy bars in the paper bag was wet, and so was I. You see, I hadn't had a car for about 6 years. I knocked on the door, and the same man let me in. Then I heard a voice ask that I bring the candy bars into the studio. When I saw it was you that I got the candy bars for, I became very weak all over. I guess it was too much for a poor boy and a nobody like me to be bringing candy bars to a king like you. I remember you asked me my name and shook my hand and thanked me. And then you reached in your pocket and gave me a $20 bill and said, "Here, I want you to have this." Never did know it, Elvis. But that $20 bill, I guess, in a big way, saved my life. You see, I've been sleeping in the back of an old wrecked station wagon, just up from the studio, for about 11 days, with only change in my pocket. And to be honest, I really hadn't eaten for almost 2 days. never did see you again after that. But I want the whole world to know, if they don't already, the many little and big things you did for many people, such as myself.
Shut the F up.
Elvis, I only wish I could have the chance again.
You are in denial.
To that same little store in the rain.
You effing idiot.
Some more candy bars.
I'm a funny guy, but I don't think that's funny. When are you coming over so I can F you?
Hey, kids, could I talk to you for about 30 seconds? This is Elvis Presley. If you believe polio is beaten, I ask you to listen.
Remember me.
Now, that's the voice of thousands who know the fight against polio is just as tough as it ever was.
Uh-huh.
They're crippled, and the salt vaccine can't help them recover.
Uh-huh.
But you can.
He's mentally retarded.
Remember polio victims. Join the 1957 March of Dimes today.
Uh-huh.
Now, here's a song.
Let's start the show, right?
Dr. Adamo.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a gangster.
Mike O'Mara.
My advice to you, start drinking heavily.
Buzz Calhoun.
Allow myself to introduce myself.
Rob Spiewak.
We don't want the Irish.
Joe Ardinger. Joe Ardinger.
Make them beans!
The Doc and Mike Show.
Hey, everybody! We're all gonna get laid!
The Doc and Mike Show.
You know what they say. See a broad to get that booty
action.
Leg her down and smack them, yak them. Oh, got to be.
Hello. There we are. There I am. Hi, Don. We have one microphone on. Let me get out of your way here. Hey, there I am. All right, let's try it again.
Spotlight.
There you are.
There you go.
Come, wow.
Oh, the eighth wonder of the world.
Well, I think that started well, don't you? Buzz, is your microphone on?
No. Yes.
Now it's on?
Yes. Yes.
Now. And now we're all on?
Yay.
Oh, look at your cheeks. Your cheeks are flushed. Are you okay? Don't have a heart attack. You want a Xanax? I got a Xanax in my pocket.
Only one? That mic worked today at 150. I don't know what's wrong with it.
I heard you were talking on it earlier, weren't you?
Yeah. Yes, I was.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's go figure.
You broke?
Or no, you know what? No, I was not speaking.
Somebody
about
was
that
speaking
microphone.
About it.
I did not touch the microphone before.
You occasionally will come in here and give it a,
right.
You know, say a little something just to, I don't know,
to give it a test run.
But it did test clean today.
No.
There you go. You screwed up the Elvis show already.
You screwed it up already because that was seamless.
It was.
Seamless. Absolutely seamless. Right into.
I thought it was pretty terrific.
Elvis and candy bars.
Have we ever played that Elvis candy bar thing? I don't think we have.
No, not all the way through.
Fresh.
Not all the way through.
I like that story.
You know what? I'm sorry. We're too hard to build that mountain. Let's just pick it up from Elvis and polio.
All right.
Okay. And then we'll hear the show open thing that was sent in by listener Jason Garrett.
So you're saying we're getting a running start again?
Yep, we are.
Very good.
We are.
All right.
Okay, Kong?
Kong! The eighth wonder of the world!
It's important right after the guy's thing ends that we say, hey, we're here for Elvis Death Day.
Yeah. Right.
And then they sing our name and then the Elvis thing starts.
Exactly. It's going to be fine.
It's all part of starting the show.
All part of momentum.
That's right.
That's
what we're
right.
doing here. We're building bridges.
Because remember, you can't spell momentum without Mo.
Big Mo. Big Mo on the way right now, baby.
Okay, here we go. And this is for Rob.
Hey, kids, could I talk to you for about 30 seconds? This is Elvis Presley. If you believe polio is beaten, I ask you to listen.
Remember me.
Now, that's the voice of thousands who know the fight against polio is just as tough as it ever was.
Right.
They're crippled, and the salt vaccine can't help them recover.
He's mentally retarded.
But you can. Remember polio victims. Join the 1957 March of Dimes today. And here's a song.
Oops. Was that the candy bar again?
I hit the wrong song.
Big Mo!
Okay.
Kong! The eighth wonder of the world!
All right, that was for me, not for you.
No.
No, that was for me.
But you wouldn't have had to hit the button
if
I had.
That certainly was for me. That was for me. Let me just take that out. There you go.
End that curse.
I'll put that away. Now, let's try it one more time.
Yes.
I'm ready.
What do you say?
I'm ready. From the top.
I'm ready.
Big Elvis Death Day Show.
Yeah. Frank Sinatra would say, I'm ready, I'm set.
Hey, kids, could I talk to you for about 30 seconds? This is Elvis Presley.
Right.
If you believe polio is beaten, I ask you to listen.
Uh-huh.
Remember me.
Well, that's the voice of thousands who know the fight against polio is just as tough as it ever was.
He's mentally retarded.
The salt vaccine can't help them recover. But you can. Remember polio victims. Join the 1957 March of Dimes today. Now here's a song.
Frank, let's start the fucking show,
Dr. Adamo.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a gangster.
Mike O'Mara.
My advice to you. Start drinking heavily.
Buzz Calhoun.
Allow myself to introduce myself.
Rob Spiewak.
We don't want the Irish.
Joe Ardinger?
Joe Ardinger.
Take some beans!
Doc and Mike Shule.
Hey, everybody! We're all gonna get laid!
With Doc and Mike Shule.
Get right here through the microphones. We're not on.
You brought to get that booty action.
You say,
lay it down, smack him, yeah.
Elvis Death Day. Cole got to be.
When I said, I need a
and Mrs. Fifth City and all the ships at sea. Just drink the juice they give you,
right.
No matter how foul.
Right.
And now, here's Don Geronimo, and it's Mike O'Mara.
Yeah. All right, thank you, Rob. Hi, everybody. Thank you for listening. As you can tell by the smell, it's the Don of my show. It's a new episode on this Wednesday. 08-16-06.
Hi, Donna Mike. Buzz Burbank here.
Hi there, Buzz. Hi. Hey, listen. We give out the phone number. We do all that stuff at the beginning of the show, but this is the Elvis show.
It is.
If you want to call, maybe with a request for an Elvis tape, maybe an Elvis story, there's got to be Elvis-related today. At 877-365-3636. That's our main number. The United States and Canada.
Yeah, man.
Now, hey, if you've never heard our Elvis Death Day shows, let me tell you, what with what we like to call relaxed standards,
with great detail.
That's the nervous laughter of calling.
Pertaining to the king of rock and roll.
Relax.
And his many idiosyncrasies.
Yeah.
Today we'll be able to deal in depth with things that in recent years we have not been able to deal with. Elvis's mental disorders. Elvis's nude statues.
Well, yes.
Sexually retarded Elvis.
One of my favorites.
Classic.
Elvis loves machine guns. Now, we've had that one before.
We've had that many times. Always fun.
Elvis's toilet. Today we will go in depth into Elvis's toilet before and after.
Oh. The new one or the one he shot?
The one that he was on.
Ah, okay.
The one that he was on.
Gotcha.
CSI style, see?
That would be the new one.
The Final Throne.
And Elvis, really technically not the new one because it's old now.
Yeah. Elvis is the morgue.
And he is dust.
And of course, Elvis with Gladys.
Mm-hmm.
His mom.
Yes.
Mama.
His fascination with his mama.
Very Elvis strange. Looking up girls' skirts.
Yes.
With the help of one of his pet monkeys.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Elvis having PE problems.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, prematurely happened a lot before.
Yeah, he was dysfunctional in many ways.
Yeah.
And yes, stop calling, stop emailing, stop sending telegrams. Yes, it's back. Elvis cannot control his bowels.
Bingo.
It's back.
They had to wrap him in a bed sheet.
Back with a vengeance.
Hey.
Everything that you loved. What? Everything that you've loved about the Elvis shows. Plus.
What I do, man.
Many, many tapes that you've not heard. Once again, here you go. This is where Kong comes through.
Yep.
We have, besides the stuff that maybe you have heard, Elvis cuts called I Like to Entertain.
Oh.
These are the new cuts we have of Elvis effed up on stage.
Oh, really?
Mumbling.
New stuff, Jack.
I like to entertain. Well, new being 1970.
New for this show.
Yeah, well, he's dead, you know.
And also two brand new montages, 5, 6, and 7, we've never played before from my personal library.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah.
Hold on a second.
How great that was.
New tapes for us.
5,
new
6, tapes. And 7, you said?
Yeah, the montages number 5, 6, and 7.
Okay.
Hold on a second.
Chance for some Kong redemption here.
Kong redemption.
Right now, let's see.
That's like what you do down at the grocery store.
Let's see how good this is.
Willy Boogers out there, boy. Before I go any further, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce the members of my band. Charlie, this is Jerry. John James.
Okay, it's pretty good already.
Old joke.
It's pretty good.
I like that, though.
So funny. You know, before we start the tapes, though.
Yes.
A bunch of Willy Boogers out there.
And we will have new tapes of Elvis on stage.
Right.
New tapes of reaction to Elvis. All of the, all the great stuff. The Elvis, I never got hooked on anything except music.
Music.
I'll rip your...
Tell you by the roots.
By the roots.
Love that. Sure.
Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. All of that, though, is predicated right now upon everybody listening taking a moment, even if you're driving.
Story time?
To put, no, one hand over your heart.
Oh, the power.
We have to take the oath. Yeah. And with the other hand, salute. Now, please, notice the way that we saluted and the way Rob saluted.
Yes.
Different salute. Different time. Mike, that's also a different salute. That would be the one-fingered salute from Mike. That would be the German salute from Rob.
That doesn't seem right.
And from the All-American Buzz...
The Dick Clark salute.
The Dick Clark. Right. Thanks for playing. See you next time salute. We start every Elvis show with the TCB oath. This was actually written by Elvis on a napkin on an airplane from Los Angeles to Memphis in 1981. TCB, of course, means taking care of business.
Sure.
More self-respect.
More self-respect.
More respect for fellow man.
More respect for fellow man.
Respect for fellow students.
Respect for fellow students.
Students.
And instructors.
And instructors.
Body conditioning.
Body conditioning.
Respect for all styles and techniques.
Respect for all styles and techniques.
Mental conditioning.
Mental conditioning.
Meditation for calming and stilling of the mind and body.
Meditation for calming and stilling of the mind and body.
Increased mental awareness for all who might choose a new outlook and personal philosophy.
For your philosophy.
Techniques
into one.
Freedom from constipation.
Freedom from constipation.
We got that one right.
TCB technique.
TCB technique.
All techniques into one.
All techniques into one.
Elvis Presley 8.
Elvis Presley 8.
Applying all techniques.
Apply all techniques.
Into one.
Into one.
One!
Amen.
There you go. Let's eat.
Yeah, very good.
That's how you start an Elvis show, by taking the TCBO.
Hey!
And he actually wrote on the napkin, so I hope he didn't cause any wrecks out there with people saluting and holding their hands over their heart.
How great thou art!
But now that you've been sworn in, let's begin the fun. Oh, and it would not be an Elvis show, it would not be a regular show if we didn't ask Mike how Barber Wednesday went.
I would like to thank Becca and Christy. Are they still? Yes, they are. Yes, they're back there. Take wave, girls, for coming in and cutting all of our hair. Not great, you, not Rob, but everybody else got a fine haircut from some very, very pretty women, Becca and Christy. Yeah. And, of course, as I was getting my haircut, who walked in but the studly Buzz Burbank. And there was the, you know, they were very friendly, very nice to me. But, of course, Buzz got the, oh, it's Buzz.
Sexy Buzz.
It's right. Buzz. And they did a nice job, and they were fast too. They got everybody's haircut, and they did it. They came in starting at about two o'clock,
right,
and got everybody finished by about 2:45.
It's just haircuts, you say?
It was for me.
Big success,
wasn't it, girls? Just haircuts, right? What about Mr. Burbank?
How about for Buzz?
they're kind of hiding back in the corner now. Can you guys hear us? Yeah, they're nodding. They're nodding. Okay. How is it cutting Mr. Burbank's hair? Oh, she's fanning herself, fanning the heat.
The pictures are up on the internet.
The before and after.
Oh, the haircut.
Oh, good. Okay, there you go.
But it was nice of them. And you know what? I offered a crisp $20 bill to Becca, and she would not accept it.
Whoa.
And
big time.
What were you implying?
It was a big time.
Hey, it was a tip for the haircut, okay?
Okay.
She wouldn't take it. I think we all did that. Did you offer a 20?
More than that. Yeah, for myself and for other people as well.
Really?
Yes. Right.
Of course you did.
Joe offered candy.
Of course you did.
Buzz?
Yes?
Did you have intercourse?
No, not yet.
Buzz, you didn't have sex in the other bed?
Not yet.
This is the thing.
Technically, that's the answer.
Yeah. Right now, he's like the ad for the erectile dysfunction that says you may get one that lasts for 4 hours.
Buzz is the guy that you throw the football through the tire.
You don't mind if I sit?
Every single time.
Yeah, Jesus.
But ladies, I know you can't talk. You're all the way in the back. Was it a pleasant experience for you coming here? Thumbs up. Yes, wonderful. Thank you, Becca.
Great job.
Thank you, Christy. Christy did not cut hair, but she's a nurse.
She coached.
She coached.
That was Buzz's money shot. Any good?
It could not be lovelier.
Any good?
They're very pretty.
It's a good thing that neither one of them know your many health problems, Buzz.
Yes, that is a good thing.
Your myriad of health problems. Right. But it was Barber Day was a success.
Mm-hmm. A big success.
A rousing success.
I would say so.
Will you revisit?
Yeah, sure. Okay. Sure. If they want to do that.
Give or receive a facial? I'm just wondering if that was a
did
part
Mr.
of
Bur- the... Did Mr. Burbank ask for any cosmetic... facial or anything like that? No, she is now giving me the pantomime that says her lips are sealed. Oh, yeah, that would be Becca.
Thank
that
you.
Said that.
Thank you,
Buzz
Becca.
Didn't ask
but I will look. You know what?
Rubby.
I'm not of the false impression anymore that I can exist in the sexually charged life of Buzz Burbank. As soon as he came into the studio, the whole thing just changed. And you know what I do now? I just move out of the way.
And you guys didn't even get to hear his entertaining patter.
No, that's true. You missed it. I was charming.
You were really charming and laughing so much.
Yes.
Yeah, a lot of that.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I could hear him. I could actually hear him, too. And he's going, it's like,
what was he saying, Colin?
The one comment I took with me, he said, and what do you do?
Yes.
He said, I'm a graduate student. He said, is there good money in that?
They all chuckled.
Yeah.
And then I guess Becca is in linguistics. She signs. Yeah, she's an interpreter.
Right.
She knows sign language. And what does Buzz say to me outside? And this is when I couldn't stand outside with him anymore because I got pissed off. That was the last straw. He says, yes, she taught me the sign language for making love. And I'm like, oh, screw you.
You mean it's not just like doing the okay sign and taking your middle finger?
Becca, could you show us, move over to the window and show us what that is. What is the sign? Oh, really? That is kind of neat. She's rubbing her hands together.
I like the okay sign.
Yeah, it's easy. Like can't you just go like, is that used too?
Right.
Oh, that made her laugh. All right. Okay, very good. But it was fine. Thanks to both of them.
Great job.
That was great.
Very nice to meet
them. We all got haircuts, and Mr. Sex got a charge out of the whole deal.
Did she sign the thing?
Yeah.
The agreement?
Okay.
Yeah, they have to.
Mm-hmm.
You mean in case there's any kind of...
No, I mean, Mike, when Buzz...
The medical waiver.
With Buzz's
in case
involved,
there's an open cut on Mr. Burbank.
There are many waivers because, you know, Buzz goes to many opium dens.
It's a lot of paperwork, really. There's the waiver for confidentiality and the one for, you know,
were you girls aware that he is just chock full of the hippie? He is. He truly.
Oh, really?
But no, he's like the magic man.
But he's been. See, I mean, he's lasted since the early 1980s.
Because really,
so he's doing fine.
When you cut his hair, you're cutting everybody's hair who's cut his hair.
That's right. That's true.
God, Buzz, keep it in your pants, my friend.
So, look at the way he conducts himself.
So far, I have.
There are women just in the general proximity. What did he say?
I said, keep it in your pants. So far, I have.
That's true. You're getting worse by the day.
Yes, I am.
You're getting worse by the day.
Yes, I am.
Like a kid on Christmas Eve.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, I tell you, I wanted to drop him. I wanted outside. I just wanted to haul back and hit him.
Oh, but you can't.
She thought me the sideline rage far back. Hey,
you couldn't get close enough to hit him.
No.
Is your penis strong enough to overtake the Elvis show, do you think?
No, I don't think so. Nothing is more powerful than Elvis.
No, I don't know.
But you know, on the serious notion of haircuts, I believe the most dramatic haircut was given to our wonderful phone screener, Mr. Joe Arden.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see the transition? Did you see from Shaggy to now Spiky?
Now he looks like the captain of the Love Boat.
I believe I will withhold comments until the fine barber ladies have left.
Very good. Very good.
Considering what they had to work with.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Tough subject.
I don't know. Plus, he came after you, right, Buzz?
Yes.
So obviously they were not really paying attention. You know, they were probably,
that's right,
you know, sopping up everybody getting stories together.
After what will now be referred to as the Burbank sessions.
Becca said that Joe was their biggest challenge. I said the same goes for us.
Yes.
He's our challenge as well.
Indeed.
No challenge with Buzz, though.
No.
No challenge with Buzz at all.
Not even a struggle.
Hi.
No.
Hi, how are you?
I struggled.
But I went first. I was glad I went first because I knew Buzz was going to be in that chair.
Right?
Yeah.
You make sure you boil those scissors when you get home, ladies. You boil those scissors like you've never boiled them before.
All right, Mike, it's Elvis time.
Yes.
It's Elvis time. Elvis is dead.
Yes,
you
he
know
is.
That.
Right.
We're sad. Wah, wah, wah. Now let's talk Elvis.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk.
Oh, my God.
Elvis.
You know, we could go right to the diehard stuff. You know, we could go to the items that had to be kept Graceland at all times.
Yeah.
We could go to the pantry. We could go to the cigar box.
Now, will there be contesting?
The kit? Maybe there will be.
Because, you know, I think over the years, people do remember
they
that.
They write list. It down.
They write save it down. They save it. Yeah.
Well, okay, here you go. Here's a challenge for you. The autopsy of Elvis conducted at Baptist Memorial Hospital in Memphis had traces of how many and what medications in Elvis's stomach?
That's tough.
Actually, it's not that many. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
But
ten
only items. One in high concentration.
Only
are
one
you,
in
are
high
you
concentration.
Quiz, are you quizzing us for, to
no,
see if
be,
you remember?
That'll be for the listeners.
For the sample. Listeners to call in and know. Yep.
They could also Google that. If they, you know, scratch that. That's a test question.
Right.
Okay?
Sample.
Because you could Google it. The answer, of course, as everybody knows, we've been doing these shows for 20 years.
I don't always remember this.
High concentration of codeine, morphine, Quaaludes, Valium, Valmid, Placidol.
Wow.
The Buzz, the one that I always ask you how to pronounce, even though my daughter's name is in it. Amytal.
Amytal.
When I read it, I read my daughter's name, and I read Amytal, and I know it's not Amytal.
Amytal. These are all, you know what I notice now? Maybe it's because of my recent medications. I notice that these are all tranquilizers.
Yes.
Most of these are depressants.
Nembutal, Demerol. And Sinutab.
Right.
Sinutab.
Yeah.
Sinutab.
Those were all the ingredients in his attack that he would take when he was time
oh
to bed.
Oh, my God. Right. That was bedtime because he'd take the Sinutab so he could breathe.
We'll do a trivia contest later.
Okay,
Elvis. I think we should just let anybody that's never heard the Elvis show before know what it's all about.
The whole experience.
Let's start with Elvis and food. This is an often requested feature on the Elvis is Still Dead show.
Right.
Elvis's bizarre eating habits sent him to his death.
Here we go. This is good stuff.
This is the one about the ice cream.
This, to me, is as good as sex. I don't mean like listening to this means I'm going to have sex. I'm saying these stories are as good as the sex stories.
Even as a teenager, Elvis loved food. He relished the lunches at his Memphis high school.
But, that should tell you something right there.
But more often than not, Elvis could not afford lunch. The shop teacher noticed that Elvis lingered after class.
Linger longer.
Which was the last period before lunch hour. The teacher asked Elvis what was wrong.
Oh, you know what?
Hold on, let me stop that for a second. Before we really get into this, you should know, for a lot of people who really don't know who Elvis is beyond just some fat guy who died
right
30 years ago.
I was telling Rob, they're making a little bit more of it this year because it's approaching the 30th anniversary.
Right. Year, yeah.
Elvis was the first great, I'm going to get drunk and I'm going to get fat and I'm going to get loaded and I'm going to go on stage and I'm going to, well... He was the first of many to lie to himself about about the condition that he was in.
Yeah.
But he was one of the first great stars that we saw deteriorate before he actually croaked.
He's nailed it.
Right.
It.
You know, unlike some of our more modern stars that have croaked, like John Belushi.
Right. Yeah. And there were stars that went, you know, that died before Elvis. But Elvis, you know, came around in the 50s, and that's when he, you know, started that lifestyle.
Worship. The great irony is that to his dying day, he always denied he had a drug problem.
And he was a DEA agent, wasn't he?
Yeah.
A drug enforcement officer.
He got the badge from Nixon.
Yeah. He understood that everything was prescribed, so he said it's legal, so it's okay.
So for everybody who's our age, and I'll be 48 next month, Mike is 47, you know, Elvis, you remember where you were when he died, but everybody right before he died had jumped on that bandwagon that always... purple and
bloated
and looks like the decanter where you could screw his head off and drink out of his neck. And for a while, it was fashionable to do some type of a mock Elvis is fat and drunk show on his birthday.
Right.
DJs would do a break or two.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do like 15 or 20 minutes.
Right.
Me and Mike every year for 21 years now, or this is our 20th, I guess, have devoted we used to have an entire show for his birthday.
And his death.
But they're too, too close.
In years past, I mean, we've even toned it down from what we used to do. We used to travel. We used to visit the Mecca of Memphis, Tennessee during August. Because I seem to remember we would go down. That's when we would travel during the death day. That's when we would go down to Memphis,
it's
Tennessee.
It's the best time to go to Memphis.
Right.
We had five or six trips down there.
Beautiful temperature.
In one of our meetings up in New York, we actually inquired as to going back to Memphis. Now, keep in mind that what we did during our last trip there, I think, which was maybe 10 years ago, you couldn't get away with today. You can't walk around with a live microphone
and talk to people
as we did. Now you got to do that whole thing where you'd have to say, you know, would you like to come on the radio and talk to us?
Live broadcast.
It's live broadcast. You definitely could not do what we did. You could not sneak microphones and the guy standing outside the little satellite thing. You know, you couldn't do this. You couldn't. We snuck microphones into Elvis's gravesite.
Oh, well,
you had a vigil, the candlelight vigil.
Right.
And also,
we went down the list of flowers, the flower arrangements that had been dropped off for the candlelight vigil, and we were laughing. And,
the Beetlejuice one.
And the Beetlejuice with the tiny little Elvis head and the big Elvis
body.
Jumpsuit flower body.
Right. And also, you've been banned from the property. There's that.
Now, and we have an update for you on that.
Mm-hmm.
We did inquire.
Yeah.
And yes, indeed, we are still officially banned from Graceland.
And you know,
and as we were told, was it we're the only people in the world,
mm-hmm.
as if we should wear that crown of shame.
We wear their scorn as a badge of honor.
You know, so I guess what they're saying, you know, John Hinckley could show up,
right,
and say, "Come on, how'd you like to spend the night in Elvis's bed?"
He's right. Fine.
Me and Mike show up.
Right. Yeah, we're like felons.
There you go.
We really are.
The Elvis Nazis show up.
Yeah.
But you know what you were saying before, for a frame of reference on this whole show and Elvis, he was the king of denial. It was the ultimate denial. Not only was this guy, you know, effed up the whole time he was on stage, he would be in front of people, you know, preaching to people, you know, the President of the United States, everything else, that he was anti-drug. And it was pretty amazing to hear him talk about it while you know. And, you know, we know now
you
what we didn't know in the...
are in denial.
We know now what we didn't know then.
Right.
He could go in front of a Las Vegas audience and talk about how, you know, they were besmirching his reputation by and saying,
I'm not on drugs, man. And you knew he was on drugs.
Slurring, yeah.
And things have changed so much that now it's taken totally for granted. If someone goes on stage effed up now, it's on Entertainment Tonight 25 yep. minutes later. It's on the internet now. It's not a big deal. Back in the late 70s, ooh. It was a big deal,
yeah.
which is why, like, the tape we played of him on stage going, forgot the words, a little something tonight.
Right.
For the longest time, radio stations said, if you get a bootleg copy of this, do not play this.
Exactly.
Right. Mm-hmm. And the thing about, Elvis and his denial, I do believe that if Elvis had been a star 10 years later, if he'd come into, you know, he would have entered that area where, you know, stars were going to rehab and things like that, and it happened. But back then, man, nobody knew about it, and they let him go. To his most devout fans, he could do no wrong. That's another difference. He got a pass in those days that artists wouldn't get today.
We used to argue with people down in Memphis.
Oh,
my God, because you get him going, because, right. you know, we'd agree on the fact that he's a great musician.
Sure is.
Then you would talk about, like, why he couldn't poop, because he had taken, you know, like, 87 codeine pills.
Right.
Speed does that.
And right now, we don't want to talk about that at all. Elvis did not take drugs.
There's a lot of things in the media that I don't choose to believe.
And that's the way his fans are.
Yeah.
And
that's why we're banned from Graceland.
The great thing about this show, even like with the segment yesterday that a lot of you didn't like, and well, you know, well, that's why you are like women. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And women are like trains.
Right.
Because if you miss one,
mm-hmm.
the next one's just 10 minutes away. There you go. Anyway, it's not even fashionable now to do a Goof on Elvis show anymore.
It hasn't been fashionable for 10 years.
But we embrace it.
Yeah.
And we've got the material. We've got the stuff. We've got the stories.
This is the place.
We've got the tapes.
And, you know, it's funny how you say it's not fashionable. But, man, after all these years, does he still lead a lot of the entertainment, you know, news magazines that are out there now. He really does. People are still talking about Elvis.
Yeah,
people
man.
Are still talking about whether Elvis is alive or not. Mm-hmm.
Top item on the Associated Press this morning on the entertainment page is that the vigil is happening tonight.
Yeah.
It's
and,
amazing.
And next year, what? Is next year the 30th anniversary?
30th, yeah. I think that next year is when they're going to announce he's alive.
About time.
He comes out. It's like one of those artist sketches that you see what he would look like today. Were they having, like, with Bee Gees hair, you know, the guy with the Bee Gees, except it's all silver?
No, I picture him coming out like the old man in 2010. You know what I mean? Where they show the really, like, the old man mask.
The thing that's funny is...
What if it was like Fred Sanford?
He just came out and he's like, hey, here I am.
Oh, no, I mean, he looked like Fred Sanford.
Right.
The thing that's great to me
well, that
is
would
that
make him black.
If he,
he could look like Fred Sanford without being black. He could be a white Fred Sanford.
I'm trying to picture a white Fred Sanford right now.
If he was alive, he'd be 71.
For instance, right now, I'm looking at a white Richard Roundtree.
Now, see, that makes total sense to me. I totally understand that. Trying to think now, the white right. Fred Sanford.
Mm. And right here, look at Kong. You know what I see?
Right.
Ralph Dubeck?
Right.
You are the white Al Roker.
Thank you.
Hey, that's very nice.
The white Al Roker.
Nice yes, that's very good.
My big, oversized, dripping belly.
And you would be the white Fred Williamson.
Oh, no, you're
not mentioning the name, just to tease him a little
bit. Oh, Hammer?
Now, I forget where we left this. Do I have to go to my office now?
No, not on Elvis' deathbed. No.
Okay.
No, I don't think... come on. Be honest with me. I'm the black who?
Cedric the Entertainer. You're the white Cedric the Entertainer.
Very nice.
You've got the...
Okay, Johnny Brown.
Okay, George Kirby. Now we'll have this war go back and forth. Okay, rerun.
Oh, hold on a second.
And how many of those people that we were doing just then are dead now?
Rerun's dead.
Rerun, yeah. George Kirby's dead, yeah. I believe.
Hold on a second.
Who's the guy? I'm trying to think of the guy.
That's an insult to my waistline. That's an insult to my treadmill.
Mike might be the white George Wallace.
That's horrible.
No, because he's a funny guy.
You can be Cedric the Entertainer. He's
I know.
Way fat.
Well, it doesn't have to do with fat. It's like funny and kind of dangerous.
No, right? I was doing
it. No, you're the white Bernie Mac.
How about that?
Well, no, that. That makes you happy, doesn't it? I love Bernie Mac.
That's a good one. All right, you going to give me a little more of the Quan here? You going to give one to me?
You're the Cedric the Entertainer.
I do love me the Cedric the Entertainer.
And I
truly
think
do.
We can all agree that Buzz is the white Steve Harvey.
Right. No, I would technically, if you're going to go with abilities, I would be the white guy from Police Academy.
Michael Winslow.
I hate that guy.
You know what? Give me a moment and let me think of...
Who I would be the white version of?
You know, you might be when you were younger, maybe.
Who?
What is...
Many years ago.
No. Rob, I'll surprise you as timely as today's top pop charts. Gnarls Barkley.
Yes.
The singer for Gnarls Barkley.
Okay. Rob's the white version of that?
No, I think
you are.
I don't even know who we're talking about.
The white version of Gnarls Barkley.
I know the band.
Not the mute guy. Not the guy, I mean, he's not really a mute, but not the guy that doesn't say anything.
Right.
The guy that sings.
Okay. I'll have to check that on the internet during the commercial break. And then I'll either come down very happy or very sad.
It's not as bad as Cedric the Entertainer.
Well, see, that's where we part company. I think Cedric the Entertainer is a compliment. I like Cedric the Entertainer.
Yeah, so do I.
Yes, he's fat, but he's funny in a very kind of cool way. Except I didn't like his stand-up show. Didn't like his stand-up show.
I thought his stand-up was fine. And as long as you see him in a stand-up setting and not like in Barbershop.
See, I loved him in Barbershop.
He's good in Barbershop.
You don't want to look like you did in Barbershop.
Yes, I do.
Yes, you do?
Yeah, I want to have that hair.
Get the girls back in there.
I truly do want to have that hair.
You know, it's definitely the Leah Remini factor. If you ever watch Johnson Family Vacation,
mm-hmm.
You must wonder, what is Vanessa Williams doing with Cedric the Entertainer?
Right.
Now, I know it's a movie. Mm-hmm. You suspend this belief.
You mentioned it's the Remini factor. It's happened in a lot of movies.
Mm-hmm. So you got to climb on top of that.
Right.
Her, that sweet piece of former Miss America ass.
She still manages to look stunning, too.
She does.
She does.
You watch that movie a lot?
Yes.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Johnson Family Vacation. I've never seen it.
Yeah, you want to make something of it?
It's just not as good as Are We There Yet? That's all.
Is that with Ice-T?
No, that's Cube.
Ice-Cube.
Cedric the Entertainer.
Wow. No, it's Cube, isn't it? Isn't that the one where Ice-Cube is in the Sam Huff show?
It's Ice-Cube.
So hard to find.
Remember Ice-Cube, who we couldn't get to come on the show when he was walking by with his entourage? Mr. Ice! A bunch of white guys over to the table.
Mr. Ice, would you sit with us, please?
All right, Hey, have we done enough explaining about the Elvis show?
I think so.
Okay,
he's one of the greatest entertainers in the history of rock and roll.
And he continues to give.
Secret.
Elvis didn't have the money for lunch.
Yeah.
The shop teacher gave him lunch money that day and for many days afterwards. Years later in Hollywood, Elvis prowled around looking for a down-home diner like his favorite back in Memphis. A few times he brought Natalie Wood along on his quest. He once remarked about her dates with Elvis. We'd go to P.C. Brown's and Elvis would love hot fudge sundaes. We'd go to Hamburger Hamlet. He'd have burgers and a Coke. He didn't drink, he didn't swear. He didn't even smoke. It was like having the date I never had in high school. I thought it was wild.
Wild.
Whenever Elvis performed in Las Vegas, he was fueled by massive intakes of food. After the show, Elvis would have a small backstage party. But more typically, he would rush to the service desk elevator to be whisked to his penthouse suite, where he lived on cheeseburgers piled high across his bed.
And I think that you're going to hear this again. Remember, the food is in his bed.
The cheeseburgers were served with ketchup, but without mayonnaise, because Elvis believed that mayonnaise was bad for your stomach. Fries with the occasional pickle were the only accompaniment. At Graceland, Elvis had cooks on duty 24 hours a day.
Hey.
Graceland's pantry was always fully stocked with Elvis's favorite food, but the cooks who went grocery shopping never bought Elvis's favorite beverage, Pepsi.
Pepsi, ma'am.
He drank too much of it to buy it at the supermarket. Instead, Elvis had cases delivered directly from his local distributor. In 1976, Elvis and several pals jetted from Memphis to Denver to feast on the best sandwich the king had ever eaten.
Here we go.
The Fool's Gold Loaf.
The Fool's Gold Loaf, ladies and gentlemen.
A peanut butter and jelly sandwich of Olympic proportions. The sandwich is an entire loaf of bread.
Yeah, there we go.
That's warmed, hollowed out, generously spread with peanut butter and jelly. The inside is filled with a pound of crispy fried bacon.
Good and good for you.
During the last years of his life, Elvis's eating totally got out of hand. Once when he was about to enter the hospital, he left instructions that he be awakened and fed a cherry pie prior to his departure.
Hey, man, if I wake up in the hospital, give me a cherry pie, Jack.
He was so nervous, he wolfed down the entire pie in bed, unaided by utensils.
Yes, of course, Elvis did eat with his hands quite a bit. He could do anything. He was Elvis Presley.
That's right.
Another time while staying in Baltimore before a concert, Elvis awakened and ordered a hot fudge sundae for breakfast. Quickly ate it and ordered a second one. Ordered and ate a third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, and eighth for breakfast.
Elvis Presley ate. That's what it's about. It's the sundae.
Eight chocolate sundaes for breakfast.
Wow.
Then he passed out. I'm reading the story as written. This is not...
Yeah. You know,
at the end of his life, he increasingly dined while reclining.
And wouldn't you if you could?
However, it was impossible to lie flat in bed, eat, and watch the TVs, which were at the foot of the bed at the same time. Elvis ingeniously thought of the idea of glasses with mirrors inside.
He was a pioneer, is what he was, not only musically.
The mirrors, positioned at a 45-degree angle, reflected the TVs by his feet into his field of vision, which was focused directly upward of the ceiling. He had one favorite meal towards the end. Bacon, mashed potatoes, and peas. Wearing his TV glasses, laying on his back in bed, Elvis would swirl the combination together on his plate, shovel it into his mouth with his bare hands.
Wow. As he's lying down, like boy.
With the TVs at the foot of his bed, droning on, Elvis ate his way to an early death.
Yeah, the king of rock and roll.
Great story.
Oh, boy, he loved to eat.
This is the day.
The fool's gold loaf. I always forget the... I always say it's the fool's loaf or the fool's gold.
You know, I know we want to keep this show on time today. We've got so much to get to. But as long as we're on the topic of food...
Yes?
Just one more. Just one more so you know what we're all about. With Elvis and food. Elvis was a food addict. In high school, in Hollywood, in Vegas, and in Graceland, Elvis lived for food. Elvis spent the last days of his life on a complete fast. Desperate to lose weight for a tour. Set to begin August 17th. Hey, tomorrow, everybody.
Hey!
1977. Between 12:30 and 1 o'clock on the morning of August 16th, cook Pauline Nicholson reported to Graceland for work. The cook, she relieved, told her that Elvis refused food all day. Pauline was concerned. Elvis had hardly eaten anything for a week. She made a salad and started peeling potatoes. Though she felt that Elvis would not eat, she was worried and didn't know what else to serve. Several minutes later, the phone rang in Graceland's kitchen. It was Mr. P. As Pauline called Elvis.
Hello, Mr. P.
I said, hello, Mr. P.
Pauline, would you fix me some water, please? Both of my bottles are empty.
Sure, said Pauline.
Elvis always liked to have two large bottles of ice water in the refrigerator next to his bed. Pauline went up to Elvis's room to refill his bottle. She found Elvis lying in bed. She tiptoed around him to pick up one bottle next to his bed and the other in his bathroom. As Elvis looked on from his bed, she carried the empty bottles to the ice maker in Lisa Marie's room.
I suddenly got a real mental picture of him with his big fat face just kind of looking at her as she walks around the bed.
She goes in the baby's room. Remember, there's an ice maker in the baby's room.
A noisy ice maker.
Pauline refilled the bottles, headed back down to the kitchen. His thirst was quenched. Elvis thought about his next move. He was discouraged. After a few days of dieting, he still
next
weighed...
Move, shifting his butt cheek.
After a few days of dieting, he still weighed 285.
Oh, no.
call the kitchen again sometime between 2 and 4 a.m. to break his fast. He requested his favorite snack. Ice cream and cookies.
That'll help.
The snack typically consisted of at least 8 scoops of ice cream and 2 to 3 dozen cookies.
Jesus.
All right. On this night, however, he told Pauline, don't serve as much as usual. A small amount. Don't give me as many cookies.
6 will be fine.
She dished up 8 scoops of ice cream and 8 to 24 cookies.
She didn't listen to Mr. P.
She served the ice cream in a cereal bowl, accompanied by cookies on a bread plate. After eating, energy surged through Elvis's body, revitalized. He discussed the idea of marriage with his girlfriend, Ginger Alden. At 5 a.m., Elvis and Ginger went to play racquetball at the court behind the mansion.
Now, that is the one right there that I have so much trouble picturing. How, and the cookies must have really given him a shot of energy.
When Elvis returned to the mansion at 7 a.m., he was much more subdued.
That was a good racquetball game, Jack.
Pauline told him he looked hungry. He said, you know, Pauline, I'm not hungry. I'm just tired. I want to rest. Later in the morning, Elvis called the kitchen and asked for his medication, which he referred to as his attack.
Hillbilly says what?
He typically took 3 such attacks every night, spaced several hours apart. But during this last night, he had saved up the contents of all 3 packets.
Oh, dear.
Swallowed all the pills at once.
Elvis.
He was found dead several hours later on the floor of his bathroom.
Sure. So that was, you know what? I never processed it that taking all 3 of his, like, mega doses anyway at the same time is probably what did him in. Tripled it, yeah. I didn't know that he tripled his. I forgot that he had tripled his dosage.
My theory has always been the racquetball that killed him.
he had just avoided exercise, right?
When we come back, oh, for goodness, all for Elvis. We can hear Elvis talk. It's some of the great tapes we have of Elvis on stage, including Elvis talking about his toothache when he goes into the talk about castration and then the soles of his shoes.
Very good.
How about when Elvis talks about his good friend Judy Spreckles?
Oh, your name is Judy Spreckles. Like her.
When he gets mad when Bill Cosby's not in the crowd.
Whoa, yeah. There's so much great Elvis on stage. He's, as we mentioned before, Elvis was not averse to going on stage after taking one of his attacks.
We have him explaining his divorce, explaining the jewels that he bought for his girlfriend.
But man, I gave her a Cadillac. I gave her a Rolls Royce.
Great day. And you see, we have Larry King, the day that he died.
Oh, really? Yeah. Have we ever heard that before?
I don't know that we played it.
I don't think we've ever heard that before.
No. We have Larry King, What If He Lived? Larry King, He Bought a Chimp. Elvis's Karate Demonstration. These are all new ones for us this year.
Very good.
And, of course, the mother of all of them, the Elvis on stage. You can't get a girl pregnant with a Polaroid Jack.
He's explaining everything, having a little paranoid attack on stage.
Yes. Where is that one at, Rob?
I mean,
where's that disc? Wait, you are just...
There are a lot of discs.
Way organized.
It could be any one of them.
Ah,
but it's on
you.
One of these discs as well.
Thank you very much. Now, the montage that I almost started to play there. Which one is it? Number 5?
We haven't played 5, 6, or 7 yet.
5, okay. So we'll go to break and hear one of Rob's new Elvis montages.
Very good.
Here on Elvis' death day.
Hey.
06. And what is it Michael Hoover says?
We're not here to make fun.
We're here to bring back some memories.
Bring back memories.
Memories.
Dumbass.
Oh, this is not your montage, is it?
No, I thought you were setting the table.
Oh, no. Oh, all right. Friends, Jim Nance. And now a special montage.
Good evening. Table for two?
By Kong.
Some woolly boogers out there, boy. Before I go any further, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce the members of my band. Charlie, this is Jerry. John, James. Okay, we'll go on with the show now.
There was a guy I said one time.
What's going on there?
He said, you never stood in that man's shoes or saw things through his eyes or stood and watched with helpless hands while the heart inside you dies.
Well, Elvis,
So help your brother along the way, no matter where he starts. For the same God that made you made him too.
That's beautiful.
These men with broken hearts.
Looks like I started something. Looks like I started something, but I can't finish it. Woo! But I'll give it a hell of a try.
Oh, you're a good crowd. You know, I can tell when I walk in a building if you're going to be good or not, you know. I mean, the car pulled in, and I could hear people breathing. So I can tell, you know. I hope you have a good time this evening. We're going to do a lot of songs, old ones, new ones, in between. You know what looks funny is these people with binoculars look like frogs to me. And then people ask me about the flash bulbs and about the lights. And I say, I can't see anything, man. I'm telling you. Okay. I'd like to tell you something. The people that got kissed last night and kissed somebody and I caught their creeping crud. And if I got it, honey, you got it. I don't care what it is. Sorry, I almost stepped on you. My first movie was Love Me Tender, so I'd like to sing a little bit for you. I just said I'd like to. I don't really feel like doing it because I've done it so much before. I'm
doing
the song, you know.
Doing it.
What did we do last night next? I'd like to ask the Stamps to do a song, ladies and gentlemen. And why me, Lord? I'll tell you what I'd like to do. Now that you've got a chance to see us, I'd like to turn the house lights up so I can see you because... Tender, okay. I will. I'm trying to see if I recognize anybody out there. It's a big place.
I'm trying to see if I recognize.
Oh, yeah.
I'm trying to see if I recognize anyone.
Let's turn up the house lights. You
know, I don't
want to
do it.
Ed, do it. He assumes the same way every time, doesn't he?
And what is it, Hound Dog? Or what is it?
Love Me Tender.
Someone's going to do Love Me Tender. Bam, bam. I don't want to do it.
Don't want to do it, man. Sax are going to sing for you now. I
do not want to do it.
You
oh,
look like
man.
A bunch of frogs.
Service elevator.
Cheeseburger time. Eat something.
Come on, ma'am. Excuse me. Could you fill my water bottles up? Let's get married. Play racquetball. And die.
A little water.
A little racquetball.
My Elvis toilet.
That's all she wrote.
Hold on a second. I got Elvis's toilet here somewhere.
Hi. If only, they had prevented me from taking three attacks at once.
Yes.
Need a lot of water to take all those pills. Elvis.
Sure do, Jack.
Fill up the bottles.
Like his toilet. I do remember this. I've got it somewhere. They did like a CSI thing on it. It's black.
Yeah, that's right. Oh. He has a black toilet.
Oh, it's supposed to be.
Yes.
It didn't. It started out that way.
It was black, and it was stained, and
stained, man.
And also, there was thick shag carpet in the bathroom,
which might have contributed to suffocation.
That's right.
Oh, here we go. Hold on. How about Barbara Streisand? These are just celebrities,
okay? Mm-hmm.
Celebrities and some of their experiences with Elvis.
All right.
One night, this is Barbara Streisand talking about him. Speaking now.
Okay.
The night before Elvis opened, he and I and Scylla and a couple of others went down and saw... Oh, I'm sorry.
This is someone in the Memphis Mafia talking.
Okay. I see what this is, Robbie. Right. Oh, someone talking about going to see Barbara Streisand with Elvis.
Mm-hmm.
The night before Elvis opened, he and I and Scylla and a couple of others went down and saw Barbara Streisand. Elvis listened to her for a while, and he didn't really get into her.
Yeah. That's funny.
Especially when she went into her Jewish shtick. A little ways into it, he turned to me and he said, God damn it, she sucks.
I didn't mean you haven't read that one.
Wow. He'd been drinking Bloody Marys.
Wow.
And when we went backstage, instead of telling Barbara Streisand how great she was, Elvis said, man... What did you ever see in Elliot Gould? I cannot stand the mother father. Barbara Streisand gathered herself up in his indignant huff and said, what do you mean he's the father of my son?
Oh, my God. I don't remember that one.
Sammy Davis Jr. You've not heard these.
Right.
Sammy Davis Jr. used to come to Elvis's Vegas shows.
Uh-huh.
Elvis said... Elvis told me, person of the mafia,
right.
When he was out there one time, he gave Sammy his big black sapphire ring.
Wow.
He said it was only right. Sammy was the biggest black star in the world. He should have the biggest black sapphire.
Hey.
That was Elvis.
Let me see. Oh.
She sucks.
That's funny.
What did you ever see in L.A.?
The Carpenters. The Carpenters.
Yeah. Oh, they went to see the Carpenters?
Karen and Richard Carpenter came backstage in the dressing room one time in the 70s.
Yeah.
Big round table in the middle of the room. They were sitting there, and she was totally domineering. Elvis came out. She had this stuffed animal, and she said, sign this, in a haughty, demanding way. Mm. Elvis said, who the F are you? Good for Elvis. Mm-hmm. Lisa Marie. Lisa Marie would go down to the gate and sign autographs for the fans. This was when she was about 8.
Wow. Huh.
She would write, F you. Comma, Lisa Marie Presley.
That's nice.
I haven't heard any of this. Then she'd get on the golf cart and take off.
Wow.
Yeah, golf
cart. Wow.
Like that's,
are there a bunch of those?
Yeah, I mean, it's some of the stuff that we've
I've never heard that.
To.
I mean, how many years are we doing these Elvis shows?
That's
I've never heard that
book
one.
That came out in 1995 that we have called The Memphis Mafia.
Sweet, lovely Lisa Marie.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Peggy Fleming, you've heard about that before.
Cotton panties, right?
You
love those.
Yeah, her white panties.
Elvis loved that.
Her white panties.
Panties.
Let me see. Paul Anka.
You know, we're rambling because we've done all these shows together. I should point out to our listening audience that when we say cotton panties, Elvis was fascinated with white cotton panties.
Oh, all right. We'll go to break on that one. Yes, yeah.
Women.
Peggy Fleming. Elvis fell in love with Peggy Fleming, the ice skater on TV. He loved to watch her skate because she always wore these white skating outfits.
Mm-hmm.
Every time she was on TV, he'd turn the volume up loud and tell everybody to shut up.
Right.
Then he'd start talking. He would say, man, she is goddamn gorgeous. Man, she turns me on. Look at those white panties, man.
That's his bag, Jack.
Those are all quotes from his homies.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's kind of what the Elvis show is about.
That's a good start. That's a very good start.
Yeah. When we come back, Mike.
Yes.
My best buddy.
Uh-huh.
Here are your choices.
Okay. The music.
Elvis's faggy bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
Elvis's early drug use. Flash bubbles in the pool.
I asked for that last time.
Cough syrup and champagne flute.
My favorite song.
Elvis's baby talk. Peaches and popsicles. Elvis's deodorant tablets. Elvis shoots his toilet. Elvis goes snake hunting.
You know, the way we're building this, I really think I should defer to my newsman colleague.
Hold on. Elvis is sexually retarded.
Right.
Elvis takes hallucinogenics.
Wow.
Elvis loves machine guns.
I got to go back to the original champagne flutes and cough syrup. I think that'll give people a little perspective on what Elvis was all about. Star power.
Can I also throw out Elvis's mental disorder?
Please. Now that one, I'm not sure what that is.
Yeah, that could be new for us.
Elvis pukes. Elvis and his first whore. Elvis buys love for the first time. Scatter the monkey.
Such a full lie. Scatter's a good finisher, though.
Yeah, you're right.
Scatter's a great
shoots
finisher.
The TV.
Oh, that's classic.
New this year. Elvis and Richard Simmons.
Oh, now, wait a minute. Now, see, if you're giving me repeats, I want Elvis and Richard Simmons.
Okay.
Elvis, when we come back, Elvis and Richard Simmons?
I didn't know they'd met.
Elvis and Richard Simmons, yes.
Very good.
Absolutely.
Perfect.
We will be right back. This bulletin just in. Elvis still gone.
Hey!
Be right back.
Number 4 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
I can do a song here, ladies and gentlemen, that it's one of the prettiest goddamn love songs I've heard in my life, man. I'll tell you. No, it is. It's just one of the prettiest songs I've ever heard in my life. I've never sung it. I've never recorded it. I never liked the damn thing until I found out. Damn, I got a toothache. Until I found out the story behind why it was written, and then I really didn't like it because I don't like that type of stuff. So, next song, no. Now, this is a true story of a song. It's been around for a long time. Try to take this belt out, really. It's going to cut me, castrate me, do something, you know. Really, I can't do that. I got things to do and places, you know, places to go and other tours and things and secret cities and chicks and all that jazz, you know. Look, I just can't. Be careful. Be careful, son. Be careful. Don't get it caught in the core, or I'll die. You know, electrocute my ass. And I mean, excuse me, folks. I just mumbled. Oh, damn! I said it's that tight. You cut off my hair, man. I can't sing. You know, I sing from down in the gut, and you down in the shoe soles. You'll never get up here.
Wow.
What?
Hell. Don and Mike Show.
Exactly. What?
Get ready for Ding Dong and Goat Screw.
Here we are.
Because here's Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
And Elvis.
D-Day.
7 lonely days.
Our show at West Wood. Brought to you today by Ford.
I reached out.
Visit addictedtokelly.com for all the latest Kelly Clarkson tour info, as well as exclusive video. Your chance to win Kelly Clarkson's Mustang GT convertible is brought to you by Ford.
Ford, baby.
All right, there you go, Kwan. And now let's see. Elvis still dead?
Yes.
Mike, I believe you did request Elvis and Richard Simmons now.
Yes, that's a new one. I don't remember that one.
Kentucky back road.
It's not really juicy,
but it's interesting.
Well, it's about Elvis and food.
Perfect. Did he solicit the help of Richard Simmons?
No, sir. It's a shorty. Here we go.
Like okay. Richard Simmons.
This orchestra, ladies and gentlemen, was voted by Billboard magazine.
Hold on, I gotta get the music in. We got so many goddamn.
Man, help me! This thing's gonna castrate me, Jack.
In your shoe soles.
I just want you to. Okay. Ow!
All right, there's that thing, Rob. Okay, so here's the music for the Elvis stuff.
Oh, good.
Ah.
Health and Christmas album.
Health and fitness guru Richard Simmons. Sold candy as a youngster in New Orleans. In 1958, Elvis was there filming King Creole. While walking around Bourbon Street one day, he bumped into the young Richard Simmons. Elvis asked what kind of candy he was selling. Richard Simmons told him they were pralines. Elvis claimed they were his favorites. Elvis found them fresh and delicious.
Man, these are fresh and delicious, Jack.
He ended up buying every box that Simmons had.
Of course he did.
18 boxes of pralines.
Oh, it's interesting how they liked each other. Was he wearing the candy striped shorts?
What Elvis didn't know was that he was Richard Simmons' very first customer. The young man could not believe his luck. The next day, armed with 18 more boxes of pralines, he was on the same street corner when Elvis came by for a refill.
Of course. Man, I can't stop eating. There is Elvis's eating to excess.
Richard Simmons and Elvis continued this dance for 6 days.
Wow. Jesus, 18, but well, they must have been little boxes.
No,
they were big.
I found her. Right. On the last day,
moving boxes.
Richard Simmons remembers standing in the street with his box of 18 pralines waiting for Elvis. Well, you never heard that one, man.
And then he burst into tears and got fat.
Didn't know they'd.
And the rest is history.
Yep, and. Now let's move on to about puking Elvis.
Yeah. All right. Very good.
In a scene for a movie, King Creole, actor Walter Matthau hits Elvis with a chair after getting into a fake staged fight. The scene was rehearsed once, and then the director called for a take. Walter Matthau picked up the chair and broke it over Elvis's back.
Elvis, you marry, I'm gonna get you, Elvis. Memsey.
Elvis pulled himself up.
Fresh wings.
Started. Hold on. I don't think we've heard this one before.
No.
In a sing for. Turn that off.
Yeah, you know, I like it with at least fainter in the background so I can hear the stories.
Well, you know, put the other music in. He's just trying to mix it up.
I shouldn't have said nothing.
Just trying to mix it up.
I'm just in, and this is a new one, and we don't get to hear those.
In a scene for King Creole, Walter Matthau hits Elvis with a chair after getting into a fight in the club in Bourbon Street. The scene was rehearsed once. The director called for a take. Walter Matthau picked up the chair and broke it over Elvis's back. Elvis pulled himself up, started gacking, and began to vomit uncontrollably.
Oh, my God. Wow. It's like his body went into shock. Yeah.
7 to 8 minutes of projectile vomiting later, Elvis's fit passed. He got up and drank a glass of water.
Why are you puking, Elvis?
Director Michael Curtis called for a break, but Elvis said he was fine. He would redo the scene after he changed his clothes.
I'm not going to hit you with that chair again, Elvis.
The director asked him if he was sure, and Elvis said, I'm fine, but I will be glad to get into the army where it is safe.
Oh, that's just little Elvis, you know.
It's a joke.
An Elvis.
Later that night, the crew and cast got together to reshoot the scene. Walter Matthau rehearsed with Elvis. The director called for the take. For the second time, Walter Matthau picked up the chair and broke it over Elvis's back.
Okay.
Elvis immediately started gagging.
Jesus!
And began to vomit uncontrollably.
That's a... You know, no explanation, right?
No.
They just leave it at that. All I did was put a chair over his back, and he began to puke. What's he puking for, Presley? What the heck? Wish he'd been alive and let us see him in Grumpy Old Man. Presley!
Hold on a second. Okay, here's another short one that you've not heard before.
Hank was murder.
Elvis? Elvis detested his role of Arabian playboy in 1965's Harem Scarum.
Oh.
He was required to wear a chic outfit for the part, and he was hesitant about wearing the costume.
Really?
When he tried it on, however, he liked what he saw.
Sure.
Elvis later said the outfit made him feel regal and distinct.
Uh-huh.
He loved the costume so much, he wore it to and from the studio every day.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I ask you to seriously picture a Hollywood star doing that today. I don't think that would happen. Imagine you're driving down the streets in L.A. and you see a sheik go by, you know, and it's Elvis Presley.
People who knew him said he was silly. Those who didn't recognize him thought he was crazy.
Right.
Elvis did not care what anybody thought.
No, he didn't. He's Elvis.
He wore the costume out. Oh, he wore the costume out. And the studio had to fit it with an extra one used only for filming.
Okay. Now, you want to know why he did that? Because he could.
Right.
Right there where the studio gives him another outfit to wear when he goes out.
The king.
That's good. Can you imagine just sitting in a restaurant and Elvis comes walking in that outfit? This is the part of Elvis that you can't help but love.
Right. All right, this one I think we have heard before, but as long as we're on the topic of Elvis, early Elvis, before bloated Elvis, this
right.
would be like 1958 to 66-ish Elvis.
Right around the Army Elvis.
In the early 60s, Elvis developed a chronic foot odor problem.
Yeah, oh dear.
That could not be controlled.
He can't control it, Jack.
Elvis had no time to do his laundry while he was touring.
Oh.
So at the end of the day,
oh dear,
he would throw his sour-smelling socks into a suitcase.
Oh.
After several weeks, about 2 dozen rancid socks were stuffed in his luggage. When he got home, he handed the bag over to his mom, Gladys. She opened the suitcase and nearly collapsed from the stench.
Right. Oh, my boy!
Wearing a bandana over her nose and rubber gloves on her hands, she filled a large basin with water and extra soap and washed Elvis's socks.
So he's a major rock star, but she's still, you know, that's back before they had a washing machine.
Right. How anyone with smelly feet, with feet this smelly, could not have the brains to wash and powder his feet was beyond Gladys. She made sure Elvis knew that. She said, son, your feet stink. Never bring me another load of your putrid socks to wash. Elvis did not heed the warning.
You know what they call that?
What?
They call that tough love.
Yeah. Yeah. The next time he brought home another load hidden in his suitcase.
Tough love and cotton panty.
Gladys dumped the luggage on the curb for the garbage men to take.
Go, girl.
When Elvis complained, Gladys told him he could wash his socks that himself if he wanted them that badly.
Yeah, wash them socks himself if you're gonna put them in my sticky house.
Early the next morning, the garbage men tossed the suitcase into their truck. To the day he died, Elvis had chronic foot odor.
Oh, wow. Now, you got to think later on, if he, till the day he died, what those dogs must have smelled like in 1977.
Wasn't blue suede.
Pretty great.
His mom pretty said,
Elvis, I'm not washing your socks. This is Mrs. Gladys Presley.
And then she hit him with a chair.
Stop your puking.
And as you know,
with Elvis, there's really only one germ, Mike.
One germ?
There's only one germ, and that germ is the enemy.
This orchestra, ladies and gentlemen, was voted by Billboard magazine in the last 2 years the number one orchestra of the year.
The germ,
fortune to get that done,
is the enemy.
No, I'm going to get... There's a guy in the audience. I got sick one night last week, and I had a temperature of about 102. Wait a minute. Don't plug 102 temperature. No, I had a temperature. It was a flu going on in this town, and all my employees were dropping like flies. And I was in, they were in the room with me, you know, getting me dressed, and they breathed in my face. And so I caught the flu, and I missed one night. Which I don't like to do. I've only missed about 6-7 nights in 19 years from illness. You know.
Yeah. Right, Elvis.
Because to me, a germ is an enemy, and I hate the son of a bitch, and I'll fight it. You know.
Oh, dear.
That's why I went to the hospital. Went to the hospital once in my life. Once in my life. And then I was on it for 3 days because they had a little bronchial trouble in the tubes. And they, you know how they do in the hospital. They check you for everything in the world, man. I mean, liver, you know, they'll find something wrong with you. They'll create something if you ain't got it. That guy took a liver biopsy. You know what a liver test is?
What, Elvis?
You know what a liver, you know what it do?
What?
The doctor comes in and says, don't look at me. Turns your head, takes a needle this long, goes, right between your ribs, pulls out a piece of your liver. I swear to God, that's it. John, you know what I'm talking about.
John?
Yeah.
And so I said,
here's a piece of your liver.
He said, don't move for 24 hours. And here I was, I guess. Damn, what did he do to me? I was okay. I was getting well, and he come in and stabbed me.
Yeah. Wait,
I swear to God, I saw him out of the corner of my eye because I can't help it. I'm trained that way. He looked like a samurai warrior. He said, that needle, man.
Saluted.
Fastest son I've ever seen in my life, wasn't it?
I love it when he's. You notice what I appreciate this time.
The germ always, is the enemy.
It's always something different with Elvis. It's his lack of words. You know, he does. The doctor comes in, and goes, bam, ooh, wow. Yeah, Jack. I don't know, man. He takes a piece of my liver.
I was starting to get away. I'm going to do an Elvis Death Day show E2E coming up.
All right,
good. Let's get into the mood as we go to break. Very briefly, let's just start talking about Elvis and his love of D-R-U-G-S.
Well, they were his downfall, unfortunately, you say.
Shut up, Buzz. Lamar Fike says...
We even ran fat as cows with sugar.
Because I lived at Graceland, I saw more than some of the guys. Sure, people were drinking. Including Elvis's mom. But she was also taking amphetamines.
Give me those pills, Elvis.
Elvis, you know, from now on, if his mom's referred to, the voice of Gladys Presley will be Walter Matthau.
Yeah. Well, here you go, Mike. Elvis got his first uppers from his mother.
Here you go, Elvis. Try these.
Thank you, Mama.
Try these on for size.
Oh, my Peter, Mama.
Yes. Calm down, boy.
Well... Elvis just got a hold of a whole bottle of Gladys's prescription of Dexedrine.
Whee! Who took my prescription?
Elvis got hold of a whole bottle.
That's a lot.
I'll kill you!
He took two or three of them.
Mm-hmm.
Then he took two or three more of them.
That's Elvis.
Then he said, God damn, I want to stay on this elevator for a while.
You're going to come down hard, Elvis.
Elvis used to get so damn ripped his teeth would shatter. Hey. I got to the point I couldn't even swallow one because it would stick in my throat because I took them with Elvis.
This kind of excites you, doesn't it, Buzz?
I'm intrigued. Tell me
Elvis,
more.
Elvis just loved the S out of pills. He loved what they did. any pill. He would open a box of Bear aspirin and chew the whole goddamn bottle.
Jesus.
He thought those pills were the answer for everything. If anybody believed the medicine would shape the world, it was Elvis Presley.
Where are my amphetamines?
Hey, Mama.
Presley.
Hey, Mama, I brought some more socks home.
You steal my drugs after that laundry basket? You're gonna get you, Presley.
I love you, Mama.
I love you, son. Just stay out of my amphetamines.
Please clean my socks, Mama.
I'm not touching those. They're going out with the garbage. We'll put those with the garbage right away. Mama, you, Presley.
Make me a promise, Mama.
What's that, Elvis?
That you will not make grumpier old man.
It's too late. I've signed the contract. It doesn't matter. Now we're all dead.
Oh, Mama Gladys.
Hey, yes, it's me. Your mama with the cotton panties.
Okay, God.
Wow.
Okay, now we've got more. What is this? Hold on a second. I am Bill Cosby, 8th degree black. Oh, this is more stuff with him on stage.
Yeah. Is this when Cosby didn't show up for his? He introduces Cosby, right? And Cosby's right. Not in the audience.
Yeah, let's hear that one.
Mm-hmm. He makes an implication, I believe, about Bill Cosby.
Anyway, when I got sick, a fellow volunteered his services to come in and fill in for me. He was way up north somewhere.
Is that the Cosby tape?
Yeah. TV show. Yeah. He does so much. He volunteered to come in and work this show for me.
Yep.
So now that he's been here ever since, he'll open here tomorrow night. I'd like to thank him, Bill Cosby.
Now, Bill Cosby's not there.
Bill, where are you, buddy?
Oh, brother.
What? Where's Bill? I haven't seen Bill yet. Where's Cosby? You mean after that build-up that son of a bitch left? Well, the hell with it. I won't pay him anyway. No, I'm only kidding. No, he gets $10,000. I give him that whether he likes it or not. Just stick it up his nose.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
You see, yeah. That whole show, that's the show.
So he's implying... Now does he? He's not just being silly. He's saying he'll stick it up his nose.
He was
right?
Going to snort like cocaine.
I think that's
yes.
What he was saying. Yes,
yep.
I've heard that.
That's the whole show that came from the drugs monologue and that monologue that we always play about.
That's all from one show, right?
Sure. Yeah,
in Vegas,
and one incredible night when he poured everything out.
Yep.
His fans called the show Desert Fire because it's like the most whacked out he ever got.
Yeah.
And Cosby was there and left.
Because oh, really?
It was really a cringe-inducing night.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was great, man.
Desert Fire, Jack.
I'm not going to sit here and leave all messed up and reasonable.
Where's my mama at?
I'm over here, Elvis. Standing by, sitting right next to Bill Cosby.
Mama.
Yes? Yes, Elvis?
I wish to nurse on your ample teats.
You can until my dying breath.
That's just not what I want to see.
Hey, Coquette, how you doing?
Put the $10,000 up my nose. That's the reason gold is on. You speak good English.
Someone get Richard Simmons on the phone for me. I would like 18 boxes of pralines, please.
Nothing like a praline, son. They're tasty and good for you.
Mama, why do my feet stink?
I don't know, but I'm not going to be by this washing machine again. I will not eat these. I mean, I'm praline. I'm confused. I will not wash those socks.
Mama, why are you washing the pralines and eating my socks?
Mr. Cosby told me to.
You're down straight.
He's a cokehead.
I'll take $10,000 to Ben's Chili Bowl.
Yes, sirree, Cos. Pat Albert.
Well, I do believe that Ben's Chili Bowl was not even around.
Please.
Are we talking about Ben's Chili Bowl in D.C.?
I don't know. I didn't write it.
Cosby's favorite restaurant.
Oh, that's right. Ben's Chili Bowl downtown. Damn it, I shouldn't have read it. I knew I shouldn't have read it.
As well, sometimes it is a curse to have Jackie the Jokeman here.
Just remember, if it's funny, Spiewak probably wrote it.
Not always, though.
Not always. That was not a home run there, Spiewak.
I love you, Mama.
I love you, Elvis. My little Elvis baby boy. Such a good baby boy with a drug problem and an eating disorder.
My sweet mama who gave me my first pills and let me look at her cotton panties.
I'll dance up on a chair and you'll see my panties.
Oh, my Peter, Mama.
All right, ready for E to E.
Very good.
And this is a guy, the guy that we're going to talk to next on our Elvis Death Show. He's a guy who has been on, he was like on Good Morning America, on the Today Show.
A real guy.
This guy is offering how much, Rob?
$3 million.
$3 million for Elvis to show up and say, I am alive.
Oh, man. Wow.
And he's actually our correspondent in Memphis today. He's down there enjoying the weather.
Oh, very good.
We are ready to collect our money.
Yeah, man, we're here. You got two.
Here we are.
We have been like an amoeba and split in two.
Where's our $6 million?
Say hello to our mama.
Hello there, sons. Twin sons of the same mummy.
Oh, mother. If only my brother loved you the way that I do.
I know, son. Nobody loves me as much as you do. I don't like the other one anyway. I wish he had died in childbirth.
Didn't one of my siblings die that way, actually, Rob?
Yeah, Jesse, your twin.
Oh. My real-life twin, yeah, Mike.
Baby Jesse!
I want to say hi to baby Jesus.
You're my favorite, son. Baby Elvis, except you always vomit when I hit you with chairs.
I love it when you do me, Mama.
Oh, wow. Thank you, son.
And then feed me your pills.
Yes, feed you pills and a cherry pie.
Now you're kind of sounding a little like W.C. Fields as well.
Again. Yes, sir, B. Yes, yes. Gladys Presley, standing by.
You're my mama.
Yes, sir,
B. Have you ever heard of Pete Moss unless you...
Yeah, I think it's going in that direction.
We'll be right back.
Number 4, Arbitron Rated. The Don and Mike Show.
There's a lady in the audience. I'd like to introduce you to her. She's been in to see my show twice before. The reason we have a mutual respect is because the only way we know how to sing is from the gut out, both of us. And you know who I'm talking about?
Who's that?
Her name is Vicky Carr.
Here she is.
Turn around, baby. Turn around, baby. Turn around. There you go. Turn around, baby. Yeah. Now she's working. You're working where, honey? She's working at the Tropicana. You didn't change. It's okay. Don't make excuses to me. Sit down. No, thank you, Vicky. But anyway, did you hear It's Now or Never? Did you hear the song It's Now or Never? Oh, God, now I got to do it again. It's Now or Never. When I first saw you, it's now or never.
He redid the entire song. You just
did he for her?
Yeah. To the audience, like, second time they heard the song in 10 minutes.
That's for you, Vicky.
Olé!
Oh, wow.
Thank you, Bernie. It's on in my show.
Here to spread their seed, Don and Mike.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's hard to be a gambler, betting on the number.
Let me see. Everybody remembers. I was in a radio station, and I remember everybody flipping out at the time.
On
Elvis D-Day.
I don't have a strong memory of that. I know it happened, but I kind of got it. I think I got it second or third hand. Yeah, I was drinking rum.
I remember I was, 1977?
You would have been 19.
Correct. I was in New York at 99X. I remember going into work that night, and they said, you're playing all Elvis records tonight.
Yeah.
Right. And it's like, why? They said he's dead. Like, yeah. Why? Because, like, we only had, like, two or three Elvis records that we played anyway.
Normally. Because Elvis wasn't the same, you know, the person that he had been 10 years ago.
No, you had, like, I think at the time, like, Burnin' Love and Suspicious Minds, but maybe they were only even played during the daytime.
Right.
You didn't play them at nighttime, and... Well, I think I've told the story before. I remember making, not like what we do now, but making a couple of jokes. And immediately, I mean, almost being fired for it. Tonight we are doing a tribute to Elvis.
Right.
You know, the PD calling me up and saying, if you can't handle that, if you can't just play it straight tonight, I'm going to get Citizen Dan in there.
Do you have any memory of what kind of things you might have said?
It was
a fat joke?
Fat or fart.
Right.
Or,
right.
or just something about the fact that, you know, we've not played these songs on this radio station for like 25 years.
Oh, wow. So you were a little cynical then, isn't there?
You know, I'm doing the whole thing.
So you violated the body is cold law, is what you did.
Huh? Well, it sounded to my ears,
right,
to my 19-year-old ears in 1977, when I was playing stuff like, I remember, Cherche la Femme.
Right.
It was a big disco song at the time, and like Hot Blooded by Foreigner. I mean, these were the types of records we were playing.
Elvis didn't fit.
And all of a sudden I'm playing I Can't Help Falling in Love with You by Elvis.
Right.
And I didn't know what to say between the records.
Right.
Because it was like, you know, I would go, 99X, how are you doing? Elvis is dead.
Yeah.
It's all over. Yeah. 99X Grubstakes. Don't forget $5,000 worth of groceries and MP.
Sometimes I realize how advanced you are when it comes to our early careers. I was probably getting ready to drive the school bus to the day camp the following day.
Wow.
1977.
I just love to say I believe Elvis's mom sounds like Walter Matthau.
This is a tribute, Elvis. We will replace you with Citizen Dan if you can't get it straight.
Yeah. Well, you know, I didn't do nothing. I didn't do nothing that would be, like, groundbreaking to be fired. It was just being slightly irreverent, and really I didn't.
Right.
Again, I understood the magnitude of this, but it was like every radio station in America. At the time, it was like when JFK was shot.
Very serious.
No matter what the format was,
Everybody
was playing Elvis records.
You know what I do remember about it, and I really do have this memory of when he passed away? I remember that no one was talking about drug use or anything like that. It was just like, oh, my God. I mean, I know he was, like, big and fat and out of shape, but everybody was just shocked that this had happened because it wasn't in the news that he was all messed up.
No.
It came later.
The first report on CBS News was that Elvis was recently hospitalized for eye trouble.
Yeah, for eye trouble.
Eye trouble.
Exactly.
Right.
And nobody processed it that way, and they didn't process it through his funeral either. It was not like it would be today where you would have so much scrutiny, you know?
A few people knew about it, but you didn't talk about it then. Even if you knew, you didn't include that in your report. That would be disrespectful to the king.
Exactly. And also, it's the way that things worked back then.
Right.
Like, you know, that they never wrote that JFK screwed everything that walked.
Exactly.
Right. Even though they knew it.
Same deal.
Anyway, today's the day, and here we go. Elvis to Elvis action. Here we go on Elvis D-Day. Rob, why don't you just get this guy on the telephone?
You got it.
The deal is he's got a website, ElvisWanted.com.
Right.
The guy has offered up $3 million to be paid.
Serious money.
When Elvis Presley is found alive, he's the host of a new film called The Truth About Elvis.
Oh, thank God.
Scheduled for release in August of next year.
You know who's mentioned on his website?
Who?
The late Major Bill Smith.
Oh, hallelujah.
Now we're getting
$3 million, man. Time to collect.
Hey! How much is that for each of us, brother?
That's $1,000,005. I can do the math in my head, Jack. I mean, son, I caught my fingernail on the door, man. Oh, we better land this chopper.
Somebody give me Richard Simmons on the phone and tell him I want $1.5 million worth of failure.
Man, they are so good. Man, what do we got to land here for and do this interview? I want to go to Denver and get the fool's gold loaf, man.
We're going to be talking to Adam Muskowitz,
man.
An obvious Jew.
Hey.
I'll be a Mel Gibson reference.
Yes.
How great thou art. What a friend we have in Jesus. Hello, Adam.
Hello, how are you?
Adam, this is Elvis Aaron.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, can you hear us? Can you hear us, man?
Can you hear us?
I can hear you right now. I'm going outside to try to get reception.
This is Elvis Aaron Presley right here.
What's happening, Elvis? There you are.
And this is EAP.
This is my brother EAP. We're over here. We would like to know, how do you plan to pay us the $3 million?
Where do we get our money?
Well, when you guys show me your bill from the IRS, then you get your kick.
Oh, man, I don't handle any of that.
My bill from the IRS, Jackson.
I thought you did that, EAP. I thought you handled all the finances.
I don't pay taxes, Jackson.
Yeah, well, Elvis Presley, what do I need to pay taxes for?
What bill do you need to see, Jack?
Come on, Adam, be specific.
Well, we've got the $3 million reward trying to find you or EAP, whoever comes out first.
Right, man.
And the one way we can unequivocally know for sure that it's you is if the IRS agrees that it's you.
Well, yeah, you can find out it's me. How about you come down here and put your face right in between my big old butt cheeks and see what you like.
Oh, man.
I'll give you a big Elvis fart.
I'll let them smell my feet. You know, I had a terrible problem. You might know this, Adam. I had a terrible problem with foot odor during my career.
Do you know what my mother's name was?
You know, it's escaping me right now.
My mother's name is Gladys. Let me see if I can channel her right now. Mama.
I'm here, honey buddy. I'm standing by. Hello, Adam.
Hello, how are you?
I'm Gladys Presley, Elvis's mother.
This man is
Some people have said I sound strangely like Walter Matthau.
This man is a carny, Mama. What he's trying to do is get me to come back for $3
million. $3
million?
Wow, you, your father Vernon and I could live very well on that.
Mommy, you must know that these days $3 million is what some piece of S shortstop for the Kansas City Royals gets paid, Mama.
It doesn't matter. We're living in a little hut in Tupelo.
We need to get Gladys a glass of water, I think.
Here we go. I'm going to take a sip right now.
I love you, Mama. Tell me something, Adam.
Yes, Adam.
Adam, on this ElvisWanted.com website, have you got any serious responses, or are most people taking you like we are?
We've got people that are, they have some evidence, and they're a little hesitant to come out with this.
I have some evidence in my underpants. Perhaps you would like to check on that.
Adam, would you tell us, excuse me? I've got to go now.
Bye, Mama.
See you later.
Where's my brother?
I'm right here.
Where's my retarded brother?
I have a question for Adam.
Yes.
Adam, tell us everything you know about Major Bill Smith.
Major Bill Smith?
Major Bill Smith, yes. If you're a true Elvis hunter, you should know the name of Major Bill Smith.
Yeah. I don't know. I've heard...
Well, hello!
But not off the top of my head. I don't know him right now.
That was another good prompt from our producer, Kong. Who told us to make sure we ask you about that while you were on the air.
He's on the website, right, Jack?
Yeah, he is.
He said he's on the website. So how's it going? How goes the hunt, Adam?
It's going good. Once we announce the reward, we've got a lot of good publicity. A lot of people are checking out the website, and hopefully they're going to help us with some more leads.
So what are you really trying to do with this website? Are you trying to, like, move Viagra? Are you trying to move...
What's the product you're selling, man? Everybody's selling something. What's going on?
Like DVDs?
The object of the reward is to engage the public in the investigation. I've pretty much done all I can in the last 2 years.
Yeah.
So we figure to put some money out there, and some other people will try to jump in and help.
I tell you what you are, man. I believe that you're what friends of mine would call... a con artist, man.
Well, let's give him a break.
Shyster.
Let's find out if he's half. How close have you come to
he's
finding us?
Scum, Jackson.
Have you found us? Have you come close to finding us,
Everybody
man?
Nobody knows we're dead.
I've come close to proving that you're not dead. That's about it.
Well, everybody tell us all about that, Adam.
I'm sorry?
Tell us how you did that, man.
How'd you prove we're alive?
I've got DNA from the living Elvis from 1975 that does not match the tissue samples taken from the autopsy.
I've got DNA. I don't have DNA, I have BMA.
I don't want to see your sample again, Jack. So do you believe, with your heart of hearts, Adam, that the king of rock and roll is indeed alive?
Are we?
Are we?
My personal belief is just sways with every different interview that I do. Today I interviewed a guy that worked at the funeral home in Memphis and took care of Elvis's body. He talked about Vernon's emotional outpour.
My daddy.
That he witnessed. And when you hear a guy like that talk, you think for sure that Elvis is dead. It's sad. It's sad to hear anytime somebody dies.
It's sad to hear that I have passed 29 years ago.
29 years. Next year will be the big, big year. Adam, I've been told that you are in Memphis now. Are you in Memphis now?
I'm in Memphis right now, yep.
How's the weather, Jack?
Oh, it's nice. I thought it'd be more humid, but
you know, I would like to go down to the Peabody Hotel with my BB gun.
Oh yeah,
and I would shoot like to shoot those goddamn ducks that make the
man. Well, it makes such a big deal
through the lobby every day at 4 p.m.
Stupid exercise, Jack. They got these ducks, man. They come down from the top floor and then they walk into the fountain. Let's go shoot them,
Adam. I want to tell you something. I was down there in Memphis one time with my good friend. His name is Mike, and I never knew that he had homosexual tendencies until he said to me, we were staying at the Peabody Hotel, and he said, he knocked on my door, and he said, you must accompany me down to the lobby. so we can have a drink and watch the ducks walk through the lobby. And I said, what is next? Your mouth on a part of my body? Yet I went downstairs with this good man. His name is Mike O'Mara.
Mike O'Mara was fascinated with the duck.
He said to me...
Because he hated Memphis more than any other town in the world.
He said, I hate this town, but I love the fact that these ducks walk through the hotel. And I felt exactly the opposite. I loved Memphis,
right.
But I hated the ducks walking through the hotel.
Yeah, you know, Mike told me...
Uh-huh.
That the ducks were the only good thing about Memphis. He used to love the ducks until he found B.B. King's, and then he had a fine night there also.
I remember Don telling me he enjoyed everything about Memphis, except the ducks.
Yeah. Except the Peabody Ducks. Don liked the Peabody Hotel as much as Mike did, though.
Hated the ducks.
They had good eats, good chow.
And good drinks.
Very good drinks. I ate three ducks when I was at the Peabody Hotel. Man, they were fresh. You ever been to the Peabody, Adam?
Yes, I have.
Where are you staying now, man? You don't have to say that. You're on the radio.
Sorry.
That movie was also the Firm with Tom Cruise.
Yeah, man.
The Peabody Hotel is in that movie as well.
I tell you what I wanted to do. I know what Dom wanted to do. He wanted to see those ducks in the fountain with all those little kids around and grab one by the neck and twist it around,
with
man.
With its goddamn tongue out by the roots.
How you doing, Adam?
I'm good, thank you.
Our guest today is Adam. He's been looking for us. Now you found us.
We would like to know, are you going to pay by check or cash?
I'm sorry?
Are you going to pay us by check or cash, Jack?
I would like to be paid in pesos.
Well, man, what do you want to do that for, Jack?
As you know, I am moving to Casa de Presley.
Casa de Presley in Baja. Vaya con Dios, my brother. I would like to be paid in a Rite Aid gift card. $3 million of sundries. Man, I can buy a lot of Phenomint gum.
I don't know if those can hold all that.
Casa de Presley in Mexico.
Because what I like about Mexico is
how
that
great that was.
All of the pills that are not prescribed by doctors, I simply go to little pharmacies, and I can buy them. It's a magical land.
That's right, Jack.
The land of pills.
Land of pills for without doctors. No doctor to get in the way, Jack. No doctor to have to go through. You can get any pill you want. You can get all the Demerol you need, baby. Hey, Adam.
Yeah.
I recently purchased a giant box of Mexican boner pills.
Oh, yes, Viagroso.
I felt that I needed that, and my brother needed that.
Viagra Rito.
You know who was it?
You're going to get in trouble if you go down to Mexico with...
Mama, they are the least of the things that I am getting. And
you're going to die down there? This is Gladys Presley.
Mama, I need my boner pills. I'm 71, Mama.
I don't care. I must be dirt if you're 71.
Our guest has been Adam Muskowitz.
Adam, did you enjoy your time on the show?
Oh, I love it. I
want to
tune in some more. You guys are fabulous.
ElvisWanted.com is his website, as I mentioned.
It will fascinate you.
He's a putz. He's some kind of shyster, as far as I can tell. He's a con artist.
And he has not paid us our $3 million like we requested.
A man who could be on the New York City street playing three-card Monte right now. Ladies and gentlemen, shell game.
We would like that check back to us overnight. Can you do that, Adam?
You guys, I got to see...
Boner tunes!
Somewhere I'd like him to stand up.
Hold on, I'm playing a tape of myself. When I actually meant to be playing over the sound of a helicopter taking off.
Time to go. Can I come on the helicopter with you?
Mama, we only have room for three.
I'm sorry, Mama, you must have to stay.
F you! F you, boys!
I love you, Mama. Goodbye, Mama.
Too, son. Goodbye, son.
Goodbye, Mama.
Hey!
See you later, Adam.
God damn it, I'm hungry. Brother, I'm hungry.
I'll stay here with Cosby. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Mama.
Bye.
Brother, why do you treat her so poorly?
Ma'am, because she makes me angry.
Can I tell you something about
her,
Mama?
She's telling me what to do and what not to do, and she will not wash my rancid socks.
She is a great lady. Oh.
Man, you stopped my heart for a second.
Great lady.
How controversial that would have been. But it's not true, perhaps.
You know I wanted it.
I know you did.
Don't we have something about Elvis's inbreeding cousins somewhere here?
Yeah, he has like cousins that are like double second cousins. And remember, Elvis, when your mother died, you carried her nightgown around for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
That's right, I did.
A little too close.
I mean, so did you.
The smell of home, Jack.
It's the smell of my mama.
Man, in this day and age, you can't even carry your mama's nightgown around for a week.
Hey, mama. Can you hear me, mama?
I'm over here. I thought I left you behind.
Where are your big, gigantic underpants?
Here they are. I had them out of the clothesline. Here they are. You take them inside, snip away, son.
God, you turned me on, Gladys.
Thank you, my little baby boy. I appreciate it.
A little too close.
Grumpy old man.
It's time for suppositories.
You two are an odd couple.
When we come back.
Yes.
When we come back on Elvis' death day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we get closer and closer to the pièce de résistance.
Ah.
Yeah. You know, the mother of all Elvis tapes, where he's on stage,
right,
saying that he doesn't get drunk. And
yeah, it's the greatest Elvis tape ever.
He doesn't get high. We've got that. And that'll be on before the end of the show. When we come back, I think I promised you some sex. We're going to have sexually retarded Elvis.
Very good.
Also, Elvis taking his first bit of the hallucinogenic drugs.
Wow.
Also, in the next break, Elvis's first problem with colon rectal issues.
A foreshadowing, if you will.
And then Elvis's absolute battle with constipation.
Yes. Oh, man. Freedom from constipation is part of the oath.
Okay, so all of that, the scatological Elvis
right.
Coming right up, and then the sexually retarded Elvis and all of the tapes. And
maybe a little champagne flute action.
I don't know if we have time for that. Mom, do we have time for that today, Mama?
No, just talk about being sexually retarded.
I love you, Mama.
I love you, little baby boy.
Right. Number 4 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
This next song is a very serious song, and we hope you like it.
Thank you. If you buy that, you buy anything. You ask what this song says. Now, I've done a lot of silly songs, like Hound Dog doesn't mean anything, you know. But this song says, Oh, wella, wella, hoopa, 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 no go wella, and my lover.
La, 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 la.
Well, just a bunch of grown people up on stage doing that, you know, anyway. My God, honey. Ladies and gentlemen, until the next time we see you, be careful of going home, and God bless you. If you haven't guessed by now, you're on television. And so don't let the lights and cameras throw you. If they are hot, I'll tell you for sure. One of the first songs that I've recorded. We had a guitar, electric guitar, and a bass in the song.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce you to my father. You know, he's been sick for a while, but he's doing very well. Would you say, Daddy? Well, he's here tonight. Hope you're glad I can see you. Anyway, get up here. Anyway, for me, get up here. Can't wait for him to get up here. Put a chair right here. I really missed him because it's been a couple of years since he's been able to go on tour with me. You know, he's been sick. This next song was recorded by Frank Sinatra, and it's called My Way.
The Don and Mike Show.
Hold on a second. It's called My Way. My Way.
My Way, Jack.
We're caught at the trap. Using their words to thin the herd. The Don and Mike Show.
Right.
Okay, hold on, let's see. We've got so many Elvis tapes to play and so many stories to get to here.
This next song is a very serious song, and we hope you like it.
Thank you. If you buy that, you buy anything.
Oh, hold on, we just heard that one.
The song says, now I've done a lot of silly songs, like Hound.
Hold on a second, here's Larry King on the day he died.
Oh, very good.
Now, I don't know if this is actually... Is this Larry King talking about the day he died?
Yeah, it's Joe Esposito.
Oh, Larry talks, okay. All right, so you're ready to go to Portland tonight.
Right, and that afternoon I was there. I was supposed to wake him up at 4 o'clock.
We're
leaving that night at 6.
4 in the afternoon.
And his girlfriend called downstairs.
This was not Linda.
No, this was a girl named Ginger Alden. Mm-hmm. Called downstairs, asked for somebody. Elvis had fainted in the bathroom.
Right.
So I ran upstairs. And went into the bathroom.
He had gone to the bathroom?
He was in the bathroom reading a book. that's what happened.
Was he doing a toilet facility too?
Yes.
Or?
Yes.
And he was reading.
You're fucking kidding.
It was not.
He's doing the toilet facility.
The Shroud of Turin or something like that.
Shroud of Turin.
Right, yeah. That was what he had in his hand.
About the Christ body.
Right. Yeah. So. Because there's been stories out there about Elvis reading a porno book and all that stuff, and that's not true.
That's not true. The Shroud of Turin.
Here's a porno book.
Hold on, there's another good clip we've never heard before.
Was he doing the toilet facilities?
Wow.
About his chimp. What? Says a lot about it. Some of the Elvis stories, he bought a chimp?
Yeah, he got a chimp. Elvis bought, that's what he loved, animals. And there was this little baby chimp that this TV guy at the station there in Memphis had a show with. One of the guys told him, Elvis, this guy wants to sell this little chimp. So he brought it out to the house, and Elvis fell in love with it. Little chimp, his name was Scatter.
What did he do with it? He just kept it at the house?
Kept it around the house, wrote a cage for it, but he came out and had little suit clothes on, and we come out and hang around with him for a while. And it was funny, he was a character.
He was a character.
How'd he do it? He kept it in the house?
Did he read a porno book?
Jeez.
Honey, I wasn't going to hit you. Goddamn. I'm going to hit you. And I just came close, right here, but we don't hit.
You don't hit. I just came close. I almost kicked your ass.
God damn it, honey.
Honey, I wasn't going to hit you. God damn.
God damn.
I'm going to hit you. And I just came close. Right here. But we don't hit.
But no. This part of our show was the one brought to you by eSurance.com. Instant online car insurance. Our bulletin, Elvis, still dead.
Yes, yes. Contrary to what you might hear. Still.
Let's now talk about sexually retarded Elvis. Elvis was curiously inept in basic social ways. So retarded. Says Sarah Singley, who came up to Elvis's house regularly, dressed in her nice little tweed shirt with a nice white blouse, black bolero jacket, stockings and heels. You didn't just go see Elvis in your blue jeans and t-shirt.
No. Hey, man, I just want to correct you. I normally don't do this. It was a tweed skirt, shirt. You said shirt. It was a skirt, right, man? Wasn't it a tweed skirt?
It was. My mistake, Jackson.
Thank you, E.
All the girls dressed the same. All of Elvis's girls.
Really?
You would eventually try to get to Elvis. Elvis had nothing to say.
Huh?
If Scatter the Monkey hadn't been there, we probably would have sat there all night looking at each other. Elvis wouldn't do anything with me. I waited and dressed like all of the other girls, went upstairs, sat on the couch with Elvis and Scatter.
Right.
And nothing happened.
Scatter would do some stuff.
Yeah. The chimp became the focus of attention.
Mm-hmm.
All of Elvis's conversations were centered on the activities of the chimp. One time Elvis took a friend of mine out of the room and made out on a couch upstairs. It was like teen heavy petting. He got totally aroused. And all of a sudden, he exploded.
Oh, dear, Elvis.
He got embarrassed.
Sure.
Pulled down his pants and said, oh, look at all the babies we killed.
Oh, my, there it is.
I'll never forget that statement.
No.
If he ever got with some girl on a casual basis and she put out really quickly and went to bed with him, he would never see her again.
Uh-huh.
That meant she was a whore. I don't know any of my friends who had sex with him. A lot of them made out with him, but they didn't go to bed with him. And one with you, who was the ultimate good girl, I mean, she came from a Catholic family on the East Coast, was one of the few virgins in town, spent the night with him all the time, but remained totally unsullied.
So, now, is this Memphis talk? One of the few virgins in town.
Yeah. Because he respected her.
Right.
Few of the girls knew about the two-way mirror that Elvis had installed in his swimming pool cabana.
Yeah, tricky little Elvis.
Served as the ladies' dressing room. On Sundays, the girls came over to watch them play football. They would play half dozen games in a row. Elvis would play with his good friends, Jan and Dean, Pat Boone,
hey.
And Max Baer Jr.
Hey, there he is.
Giant star of the Beverly Hillbillies.
Right. His good buddies.
Yeah.
There's kind of a theme to his friends, isn't there? You know, they're all kind of... I see a lot of hair, a lot of pompadours in that group.
Okay, all right, hold on a second.
And they're all smart.
Yeah, very bright guys.
All right,
well, I never met Jan and Gene or saw them interviewed.
Right.
Jan and Gene.
I'm sure they were smart.
Sure.
Let me just get some new music to talk about the next Elvis topic, which is Elvis and Guns.
Yay, man. I love Elvis and Guns.
Back in Los Angeles, Elvis continued to pursue his new hobby. We're now in the early 70s. Elvis loved guns. Elvis bought an arsenal of weapons at gun shops in Los Angeles and Palm Springs, then contributed $17,000 to the L.A. Police Department Community Relations Program, the largest single donation in the program's history.
Good for you, E.
Which helped him get his gold commissioner's badge.
That's when the addiction started. Yep.
After he bought his badge and bought his guns, he and the guys visited the Palm Springs and Beverly Hills police shooting ranges regularly. Elvis had just seen the movie Patton.
Yeah, baby.
Committing its patriotic lone wolf opening speech to memory in the same way he had once memorized General MacArthur's farewell address.
Wow.
When he discovered...
I shall return, Jack.
When he discovered that Patton's World War II colleague, General Omar Bradley, was a Beverly Hills neighbor, there was nothing for Elvis to do but seek him out.
Oh, my. I'd like to see that meeting.
And he visited the 77-year-old retired general. He sought out Vice President Spiro Agnew, a regular visitor to Palm Springs. Tried to give him a commemorative gun, explaining how much he admired the vice president. But Spiro Agnew said he couldn't accept such a gift.
Right.
As long as he was in elected office, he couldn't take Elvis's gun.
He could take everybody else's money, though. Yeah.
On December 3rd, Elvis started a three-night, $48,000 gun buying spree at Kerr's Sporting Goods.
Wow.
Where it took four salesmen to keep up with him as he bought Christmas guns for people he knew and people who just wandered in.
He was
off the street.
He was a gun nut. I love it.
Oh, now we're going to get to Elvis's colon.
Yes. The heart of the matter. Part of his downfall, his colon, of course.
Yes.
As I look at our wonderful diagram of the colon right here.
Elvis realized, after nearly three waiting, he had to see a doctor.
Wow. Well, after 3 weeks,
Yeah, something's wrong.
In the wake of the revelation that he had not gone to the bathroom for over 21 days, Elvis consulted with doctors David Knott and Robert Fink.
It's a good name for a colon doctor, Dr. Knott. Fink.
The next day, they started Elvis on methadone.
Ah, now see, that to me would not be your standard prescription for a colon difficulty.
A treatment frequently used to combat heroin addiction. They also called in Dr. Larry Rubel, who's a gastroenterologist, ordered x-rays that showed a bowel... Now, how do you pronounce this? I-L-E-U-S.
Ilius?
I don't know. Buzz, any idea?
I'll back it up, but I think it means obstruction. I'll check.
Well, it does mean...
Whatever it is, it's white and chalky.
Can't be good. It means an enlargement of the intestine.
That is just plain nasty.
Undoubtedly a result of long-term opiate tranquilizer abuse and the principal cause of Elvis's abdomen problems.
I guess so.
Over the course of the next few days, the medical team closely monitored every one of their famous patients' responses.
Sure.
And after 4 days, Elvis went to the bathroom.
Yay! Congratulations, Elvis.
Freedom from constipation.
They noted strong indications of natural hyperactivity. Involuntary movement of his limbs. Insomnia. And a... inclination to subject himself to hospital discipline.
What would that mean?
He was cooperative patient.
I want another enema.
On the other hand,
and 65 pounds of praline.
On the other hand,
he
would often break the rules. In the hospital, he set out for Crystal Burgers when he was supposed to be on a liquid diet. And took a sleeping pill from his own supply after the nurse refused to give him just that one more.
Right.
After his liver biopsy,
They found that his liver was infiltrated with fatty cells, a condition brought on by medication abuse.
Yes.
Linda, his girlfriend, was with him virtually every minute. It was more than 2 weeks' stay. I had a cot beside his bed a few nights. Lowered my bed every night to the height of his cot. I kept sliding down. He would reach over and pull me back up. He was like a little kid. I was like his mommy. Whatever Elvis had to go through with his colon, I had to go through.
You know, still I never had to deal with that crap, did you?
Right.
Some of my most precious moments of Elvis are in the hospital. He was...
How sad is that?
Now, I can't read because of the FCC, what she's describing.
Oh, no.
But they have figured out an ingenious way for Elvis to go to the bathroom without having to leave the bed because they're not really sure when it's going to happen.
Okay.
It involves a series of bedpans, sheets, and interns.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, no, don't get up.
Elvis, so I got through that part. So Elvis was cared for.
I guess so.
One time, after Elvis had one of his moments, and everyone was gone, we watched TV.
Uh-huh. Hey.
Elvis was hooked on the game shows. He loved the Match Game.
Hey,
fantastic. Man. Hey, man, that Gene Rayburn kicks ass.
Even after we left the hospital, Elvis was still a fan.
Yeah. Elvis. Boy, I'd sure love to know what that ingenious system of sheets and bedpans involved, but I'm kind of working my imagination.
Can't do it,
right,
Mike. Sorry, can't do it.
You can piece it. There were no pulleys involved, were there?
Dr. Nick says a lot of times after he left the hospital, Elvis would stay in his room and read.
Mm-hmm.
He would do a lot of writings in the margins of books. I think it would be interesting for someone to go back and put some of those notes together.
Yeah.
Of course, Elvis liked to talk about medicine.
The Presley pages.
He wanted me to bring him as many books on the colon as he could.
Yeah, right.
So Elvis could understand his colon. It was really a sincere colon curiosity.
He liked the Match Game, though. 40 pounds of impacted blank.
Okay, hold on a second. Let me see. Okay, what is this? Elvis is watching from his hotel one night as all the people are leaving the arena after the show, and he says, "You don't understand. I can't just shut it off like that after a show. Go get me Dr. Nick." So Dr. Nick came in, set his case down, and Elvis started going through his case when Dr. Nick left the room. Elvis said to me, "He gave me some pills the other night that look the same, but they're non-addictive. I know it. He doesn't know I know it. I know more about drugs than he does." I said, "Elvis,
give me the pill, Jack."
I said, "Elvis, stay out of his briefcase. Don't do that." No, I have to. Don't tell him." Elvis then took the real pills and put the fake ones back in the case.
Oh, no.
The next morning, I went to see Joe, and I said, "Please don't say anything, but Elvis changed the pills." Dr. Nick came in and said, "Thank you," and went and put the fake ones back. Elvis came back an hour later and said, "God damn it, what son of a bitch was in there?"
He knew.
"Who switched my pills?"
Right, yeah. His pills were important to him.
He looked right at me and he said, "Did you do this to me?" I said, "No." He said, "Someone was in there. I know the pills that were there. They have been switched." Everyone said, "I don't know." I was ranted and raved and angry. And finally just shut us all out of the room.
Wow.
Jesus. These are great stories, aren't they?
He knew his pills.
Everyone.
He knew his pills.
Well,
man, who did this to me?
Was it you?
You knew him better. He wouldn't be dead.
Okay. Well, I think we're up to the tapes already.
Yes. All right. Absolutely.
I think, you know, if we want to get some buzz, news, and comments on today.
And we've got to play some of these tapes on an Elvis show. You have to.
Mm-hmm. Mike, there's the picture. There's the picture of Elvis in his army uniform.
In his tank outfit.
That is the box that holds the tape. That is, in fact, the crown jewel.
When you listen to this tape, when we come back, ask yourself if you were at a concert today, would that not be on the front page of a newspaper the next day?
Right.
I mean, but he got away with it back then.
Now, they'll play the whole thing. How long is the whole thing, Rob?
I think it's like 4 minutes and a half to get to when he's singing. It's like 2 minutes and 2.5 minutes.
Oh, great. Okay, well, we'll hear all of this.
Hey.
Maybe the best part of Elvis' death day.
What a friend we have in Jesus.
If I could just say one thing very briefly.
Yes, Elvis.
We mean no disrespect.
That's right.
We honor. And I want to say I love you, Mama.
I want to say it's time for a commercial break and leave me alone, Elvis. For God's sakes, Elvis Presley.
Hey, you bitchly cow corn, where are my pills?
I switched them with the fake ones. Now smell my panties.
You smell my feet.
Not a chance, those rats and feet. Those rats and feet are bothering me, Elvis. Elvis! Elvis Presley!
You smell like fish, Mama. Now you sound like Dennis Murphy, Mama.
Elvis!
What is wrong with him?
Hello, Elvis. Vernon. I'm Vernon.
Okay, Vernon.
Great.
I don't know what I'm doing.
We'll be right back.
Number 4 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
Okay, we're going to head into our last break of the Elvis is Still Dead show. And I don't know which one of the tribute songs. That's another thing we've not gotten to today.
Right, right.
I don't know which of the tribute songs is my favorite. We played candy bars for Elvis.
Yeah, that was special.
Here's a pretty good one.
This is with the Elvis impersonator on it, right?
By Ron McKee.
He's good. Are we lonesome tonight? Yes, we miss you tonight.
Is there any man in America that doesn't have the vocal ability to try an Elvis impression?
I don't think
Michael Elston as Buster.
Hey. See?
Oh, yeah. Here's a cat named Johnny Morrell.
Oh, this is the spoken word one. This is funny.
This is Elvis in heaven.
And that's the way it talks the whole time. Like
how
that.
You doing?
No, 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 no. Bada bada bing, bada boom, bada bing.
Hello there. This is Elvis, calling from heaven. I'm sorry it had to be this way, but it's the most wonderful thing that could have ever happened to me.
Dying
by one, each of you will be here in this wonderful place with me. I tried very hard in the years I was with you, and now that I'll be with you in spirit.
Okay, all right, here's another one.
Hello.
A tribute to Elvis.
You know, it doesn't seem like it's been this long since the king went away. I see him standing on that...
By Billy Crane.
Yeah. I haven't heard of it.
Circus cars and fence cars. He don't be there no more. He's singing glory, glory to his Lord.
Oh, that's horrible.
Yeah.
The angels go.
That is so bad. It's
even
good.
I think so.
Okay, hold on a second.
And Buzz liked every other one.
Goodbye, yeah. King Rock and Roll.
Another goodbye.
Leon Everett.
Isn't that a country performer?
Everybody.
Goodbye, King Rock and Roll. Don't you know you touched our soul?
Okay, hold on. I got the one to get out of here. This is the best one, maybe. You're the best one. The best one ever. By Jaina Thompson. Out of season, but who says you can't have Christmas in August?
Dear Santa, my name is Lisa Marie.
Pathetic.
It's been such a long, long time now.
Hello.
Since you received a wish from me.
Lisa. Marie.
Take a message to
Let your belly aching and enjoy the Don and Mike Show.
Well, it's our Elvis is Still Dead show.
Hey, man.
Back for
2006. And,
is this real Elvis we're listening to?
Yes, sir.
What song was this?
Clean up your own backyard, Mike.
Okay. Clean up your own backyard, Jackson. Oh, wow.
This is one of the last hits, wasn't it?
Yep.
While he was alive.
This was after Moody Blue, right? Or yeah. Was it? Yeah, it was
right
after Moody
there,
Blue,
I
yeah.
I think this was written by Red West.
Really?
Yeah.
That's scary.
Let's get to, what's scary, Mike?
That song actually made it into a recording studio.
Come on, Jack.
It was after he died, man.
Oh.
Posthumously.
But it was recorded before he died.
Allegedly.
That's another controversy, Jack.
All right, well, here we go. Here we go. It is the Elvis is Still Dead show. And this is what we like to call the money shot. Two separate parts. Elvis's maternity suit monologue and Elvis's drugs monologue.
Yeah. That's right. And remember, when you say maternity suit, that's what Elvis said, a maternity suit. Right.
Ladies and gentlemen, 71 today, Elvis Presley.
So they took the dog out of the room to protect it from me, you know. And
you know what, hold on. And quality on that just sucks. We got a better one.
I believe we do. Yeah, I think we do have a much better one. Darth Vader internet sound.
That's got that.
Yeah, that would lose that one. That one ought to be destroyed, man.
That was after he died.
Okay, here we go. Here's the clean one. Okay, here's maternity suit again.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry for all the build up here.
Woo! Look out! Look out!
I know. It's really worth it, though.
You're a goddamn genius!
Thank you. Now, 71 today.
Oh, have mercy.
That's better.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like you to meet one of the fellows who promoted me. Eighth degree black. His name is Ed Parker. He has about
what?
18 temple schools around the country. Ed Parker.
Thank you, drum roll. Thank you very much.
There's another fellow in the audience. It's Ed Book. Friend of mine, his name is John Grady.
We'll fascinate you.
He's written a book. He was head of the narco squad in Los Angeles.
Narco, what?
For 26 years. And on the 166th page, he's got about three pages about me and my ex-wife or so, and about our friendship, and about that maternity suit.
Hmm?
Turned to be a complete conspiracy and a hoax, man.
That maternity
suit. Just no way.
Fair
I had a picture made with that chick, and that's all. I mean, she got pregnant with a camera, a Polaroid, or something. Anyway, it's all in this book.
Hmm?
It's a little. And what's in Polaroid cameras, boy? But you know what she did? You know what she goofed up? She named the night.
She named the night.
The night she named, my wife was in. No, my wife was with me in the audience. And that's the night she said, ain't no way I'm going to fool around with her out there. You kidding me? So, anyway, let me tell you something.
Good defense, too.
If you like things like the French Connection,
he wasn't banging somebody
the
backstage.
Chinese Connection, the British Connection. A knee connection to the jump bone, and bone neck too, and a bone neck. You like that type of stuff?
The band trying
to
pick up.
Find this book. It's called O'Grady. It'll be in print when, John? September 27th. It will fascinate you. It's about 26 years of a hardline policeman working with the narco squad out of Hollywood.
Hollywood.
You can imagine what it's like. Buy this book. It's called O'Grady.
What you paid your hard-earned dollars to go see Elvis Presley.
John just came back from New York. We had a meeting of this. I have been a member of this organization for 5 years.
5 years.
International Narcotics Enforcement Officers Association. In recognition of the outstanding loyalty and contribution to the support of narcotic law enforcement.
What?
This award of special honor is bestowed upon Elvis Presley, testimony, so-and-so. Lifetime member.
Mm-hmm.
International Narcotics Enforcement Officers Association.
And John O'Grady's a good cop, isn't he?
I was about to sound like he's on drugs. All right, then here's the here's the second part of this, the best, the mother of all this stuff.
Yep.
This is now, he's going to discuss drugses.
Yes.
D-R-U-G-S's.
This is the moment.
Oh, hold on, it's 21, right?
Yeah. 21.
Here we go. 21, Elvis on drugs.
So...
I mean, of course, he's on drugs, but Elvis speaks about drugs.
That too.
I don't pay attention to rumors. I don't pay attention to movie magazines.
Why is that, E?
I don't read them because they're all junk.
Right.
And,
applause.
No, I don't mean to put anybody's job down. I'm talking about they have a job to do, and they got to write something. So if they don't know anything, they make it up, you know. So in my case, they make it up.
They make it up.
I hear rumors flying around. I got sick in the hospital. Well, I was, you know, in this day and time, you can't even get sick. You are strung out.
Strung out.
Well, by God, I'll tell you something, friend. I have never been strung out in my life, except on music.
Yes,
well,
amen.
I got sick here in the hotel.
Let's applaud Elvis.
I got sick here that one night. I had 102 temperature. They wouldn't let me perform. From three different sources, I heard. I was strung out on heroin. I swear to God, hotel employees, Jack, bellboys, freaks who carry your luggage up to the room.
Freaks.
People working around, you know, talking.
I guess I'm not paranoid, yeah.
Maids.
Jack.
And I was sick. I was, you know, I was getting, you know, a doctor, had the flu, and I met over one day and was like, but all across this town, strung out. Well, I told him earlier, and don't you get offended, ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking to somebody else. If I find or hear an individual that has said that about me, I'm going to break your goddamn neck, you son of a bitch.
I'm going to applaud him. Tell him, Elvis.
Encourage him. Thank you very much.
That is dangerous. That is damaging to myself, to my little daughter, to my father.
My doctor.
To my friends, my doctor, to everybody, my relationship with you, my relationship with the family state. It is dangerous. I will pull your goddamn tongue out by the root.
Thank you very much.
They're a little quieter after that.
Thank you very much.
He scares them a little bit.
There it is. How great is that?
That is dangerous.
That is damaging.
I'm happy to be part of the association if possible, except Elvis Presley.
Mike?
Yes.
In the 1960s, late 1960s, Elvis bought several statues of nude women.
All right, I haven't heard this one.
No. Set them up in the backyard of his home. They were spray painted with a special cobalt blue paint.
God, because, the man has taste.
Because Elvis wanted them to reflect the color of the sky against the beautiful orange sun.
There's your cobalt blue right there.
While the paint was drying, Elvis went inside to eat dinner. He bragged about his naked statues to his senior companions and could not wait for them to see how wonderful they looked. When Elvis returned to the backyard, the statues had been vandalized.
Oh, no.
Grass had been stuck to their private parts in simulation of pubic hair. Elvis was furious.
Oh, man, who did that? He hadn't heard this one?
He got down on his knees and took the grass off blade by blade.
Yeah.
He then kissed the bellies of each of the statues.
Of course he did.
As if to apologize.
I've never... That's a new one. Wow. Another new one.
Try to find new stuff for you,
that
man.
That is
year.
Good.
Wow.
And if, you know, if you want to say taste, you paint something cobalt blue. That's right.
And it's always a downer, but there really is only one way to end the show.
That's right.
And, Rob, it's a good thing that we don't have the hammer alarm anymore because...
It is, isn't it?
We are going to mention his teeth.
The word will come up. This is the end, ladies and gentlemen, and this is, this is the...
As Jim Morrison once sang...
This is the end. This is what happened at the very ending of Elvis' life.
There's all kind of speculation about what book Elvis was reading on the toilet when he died. It was not pornography. It was the scientific search for the face of Jesus, the Shroud of Truth book by Frank Adams.
Now, that is backed up by Joe Esposito when we played the tape on Larry King.
Dan Warlick, the investigator of the Shelby County Medical Examiner's Office in Memphis, says Elvis was reading a raunchy book about astrology and sexual positions.
Yeah.
if he changed books, he changed after Billy Smith left. Because Billy Smith says he had the book about
Shroud of
Jesus.
Turin, right.
Elvis had bent the page over to mark the picture of the shroud and the outline of how Jesus supposedly looked.
Right.
I know this because Elvis was sitting on the toilet reading the book while I was washing and dyeing his hair.
Oh, wow.
Now imagine.
Wow.
He's on the toilet. Yeah, reading a book about Jesus while a guy's washing and dyeing his hair.
Yeah, man, that's a good... Now, is this is a guy that's washing his hair while he's
Billy
on the...
Billy Smith is from the Mafia, Billy Smith.
Man, I bet that was a fun exercise.
Billy Smith also says, Lamar meant well. We never really wanted to say this, but Elvis was actually sitting on the toilet with his pajama bottoms down. His colon was bothering him.
Yeah.
He fell over, and the best I understand, he crawled several feet. So it's not an instantaneous death, or a painless one. They know that from all those little hemorrhages he had from the waist up. That goes along with a drug death. Blood vessels had burst after he fell.
Yeah.
He vomited a little bit and laid there before he died. Woke up about 2 in the afternoon. Ginger, his girlfriend, did. Elvis wasn't in bed, but his light was still on. Instead of going to look for him, she called one of her friends. Finally, Ginger got up and went looking for him. She knocked on the bathroom door, when he didn't answer, she went in and found him slumped on the floor. He was kind of on his left side, with his knees drawn and his hands underneath his face. He was almost in a praying position. He had on his gold pajama bottoms. They were way down past his knees.
Oh, dear.
His face was in the carpet, blood in his nostrils. She touched him. He was cold. She turned his head, seemed to breathe once. Dead people often expire a little air,
right?
His face was all distorted. Eyes were closed. She opened one of them. It was real red. She called downstairs and said, "Who's on duty?" Pauline, the maid, said, "Oh, it's Big Al." He was the first person to go upstairs. Big Al looked at Elvis, pretty much panicked. Joe now denies this. It's Billy Smith speaking. Joe Esposito denies this. But I saw it. He knocked Elvis's teeth out with a hammer. You see, we've been slapping Elvis a couple of times to bring him around. We tried to give him mouth to mouth, but his goddamn jaw was clamped tight.
We're on the vomit.
So we tried to bust his front teeth out. But we couldn't get his mouth open. Elvis had clamped down on his tongue so bad, he about cut his tongue in half. And it was all black.
Nasty.
Okay, let me see. I walked into the trauma room. I put my hand on my shoulder and I said, "He's gone. I know he is." When the Harvey team pumped Elvis's stomach, there were hundreds of pills. It sounded like gravel going in the aluminum pan.
Wow.
I heard this through a closed door. Caught a glimpse through the door. Saw Elvis naked on a steel table. They cut him from his neck to his midsection, pouring the pills out of him.
Whoa.
We weren't standing there very long when Dr. Nick walked out. We've lost him. It's a shock and a surprise.
The king of rock and roll,
said Dr. Nick.
Sounded like gravel.
Well,
sounded like gravel.
A round of applause for the king of rock.
Yeah.
He still gives. And there it is. You always got to take pause at the end there where you give all the details, but that's the way it really ended for the king of rock and roll.
That's what you need to know right there.
I think you sum it up when you talk about the pills that came out like gravel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Goodbye, Elvis. See you later, friend.
Sweet dreams, Elvis.
Good night.
What the hell is that? I don't even know what tape I got in.
Pretty. Sounded like Elvis was leaving the building.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that's what you were going for there.
Yeah, I was, but now I don't know where it is. Number...
Ladies and gentlemen,
Elvis has left the building.
Does Joe Esposito say that on most of his concerts? No.
Magazines. They don't read them because they're all junk. I don't mean to put anybody's job down.
He's got 8,000 of these things, too.
Elvis Techno.
Put anybody's job down.
He's What's that?
They're called mashups.
Mashups.
Kids love them.
Okay.
He still listens, man.
Come on, Jack.
He listens. He gives. What the hell else is on this goddamn CD, Robbie?
Everything you want.
We have so many tapes.
So, I don't pay attention to rumors.
Now we played that one.
Okay. All right, well, let me just say he's left the building.
Yes.
Then.
Elvis.
Ladies and gentlemen.
There it is.
Elvis has left the building.
Bravo.
Good time.
All right.
Drive carefully.
Bye-bye. See you next year.
And you know what? Once again... Another Elvis show and another new fact. Elvis painted naked statues cobalt blue. Uh-huh. And then somebody put grass down in the private areas.
Yeah. And he kissed the bellies.
Yeah, after he took off the blades of grass.
All right there, boner boy.
I, of course, am speaking to Buzz with his brand new boner haircut.
Yes.
Stand by. See if you can top the 3 hours of excellence that we have just delivered.
It's quite a challenge.
There will certainly be no squabbling on a fan site today that this was not a most excellent show.
No, they had to love this.
Let's see if you can hold up your end and don't drive it off the road here in the last hour, Buzz.
Well, there's no way I can follow the Elvis show, except I've got some pretty good stuff tonight.
And Buzz?
Yes?
I believe if you try hard, you can sound like Elvis.
I believe I could if I put my mind to it.
Give it a
feed
try.
Feed me a cherry pie.
Give it a try.
Please, wake me and feed me a cherry pie.
Why, that's the worst I've ever heard.
Hey, Mama.
How you doing? It's Bubba Presley.
He's no son of yours, is he, Mama?
Yes, there's the big surprise. Buzz Burbank is my baby.
I love you, Mama.
Love you too, sonny boy. Super duper. I gotta go. They're making Dirty Old Scoundrels too. And I'm coming back from the grave.
I love you, Mama.
Now I'm turning into W.C. Fields again. I guess.
300 pills in my stomach.
Wow.
It's sounding like gravel!
We'll be right back.
Number 4 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
Those ratings are changing. Always.
Be a love and listen to the Don and Mike Show.
How are you? It's part of our show on Western World is brought to you by Ford. If Elvis was alive today, he would probably be in the trunk of a Ford.
I would think so.
Got to be
bold moves.
Well, one of his animals would be.
By Ford. Just ahead of Buzz Gridley's news. Let me see. Tomorrow we'll announce where we're having our next number 4 in the ratings party.
Hey.
Right, Kong?
That's what I'm told.
Kong!
Wrong
the
answer.
Wonder of the world!
Wrong answer. That's what I'm told.
You know, I hate to jump to the boy's defense here, but I just heard during a cancer corner out there who Rob's dealing with on this particular...
Don't blame it on Michelle.
Okay.
You know what that's like? That's like saying, it's not my fault. I'm working with Tom Gavin on this. You know, I understand that.
You know, you've covered it as far as I'm concerned.
I understand that. But, right. Rob, you know what it's like to work with the challenge.
I know.
So, come on.
All right.
Come on, get off your Kong ass and get that done.
We will have a Kong ass answer tomorrow.
Here, let me see now. The podcasts are up and running.
Yay.
Go to iTunes, click podcast. Search Don and Mike, use ampersand.
Yeah, you can get that little squiggly instead of A&D.
You click on our photo, and you click subscribe, and the download automatically begins.
Yep.
Now, who's got a hard-on for this? The company wants to see if we're going to get people on the podcast?
Yes, because, you know, they were messed up for a while, and they want the numbers to go back up.
They want the numbers to go back on the podcast, because our ratings are not good enough. Now we got to be in the top 50 on the podcast.
We will be.
They're free, so enjoy them.
Yeah, they are free, but it's, and I think when we say subscribe, it makes it sound like we you have to pay money. You don't. You can get them for free.
Let's just put that on our webpage.
You got it.
Just put that on the front of our webpage.
Thank you.
Talking about our next ratings party and all that jazz, let me see. I mentioned this the other day, but we did get a note from affiliate WZAN in Portland, Maine.
Hello, family.
That we had our highest ratings in several years. Number one, men 35-44, 18-44, 25-44, men 35-54, 18-49, 18-54, 25-54. Well, it goes on and on and on.
It is great. I'm so proud to be up there in that state. It's great.
Yeah, speaking of that, let me see. Finally, because the guy sent me an email, the program director sent me an email with these numbers. Finally, please let Mike know.
Mm-hmm.
I received his email message a couple of weeks ago when he was vacationing in the area. I'm glad he liked the promo for the show that he heard.
Yeah, I left him a voicemail. I was driving with my family. I came over the state line. I turned it on. I didn't have it on 5 seconds before I heard a great promo for this show. And, you know, that's one of the things. If you support the show and you're behind it on your radio station, you're going to get those kind of results.
Immediately get the...
Yeah, it's a very big signal.
As soon as you got in the car, it was like, oh, you hear it's an ad for our show, and you are so surprised that it's an ad that actually sounds good.
Blown away.
You are motivated to call the station.
Absolutely. You know I love it up there, and I got family up there, and I listened to this thing, and I heard it. And I just wanted to call the guy and say, hey, you know what, it really... Actually, during the time I was listening, which was probably about a half an hour, I heard two of them. And that's pretty, you know, pretty unique.
Well, I would tell you today, I was listening on WJFK, driving into work.
Yeah.
And I had to go to the doctor today, so I was in the car maybe for 3 hours.
Yeah.
I heard... Not one.
Thank you.
Not one.
And keep in mind, Elvis planned to go to Portland, Maine, and then he died.
That's right.
Thank you, Rob.
He's not letting it go.
Find out where the goddamn party is at, and don't blame it on Michelle Manti. Because as you know, when she delivered her last baby, there was a lack of oxygen going to her brain.
One of the locations we're looking at is actually her womb.
Oh, fantastic.
Great place.
Hey, if we do it there,
are you kidding?
If we do it there, you better clean up that language.
Yes.
What, in her womb?
In her womb.
Like there's never been any dirty talk in Michelle's womb before.
One of my favorite Beach Boys songs.
In my womb.
That's right.
Key Largo, Montego.
No, wrong one. That's Kokomo.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
In my womb.
Hi, guys.
Here's Buzz now with news and comments. See, Rob, that's how you make the salespeople jump.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's important.
You don't do this mamby-pamby, well, it's not really my fault, it's up to you. No, come on, it's Michelle.
It is.
Say on the radio what you say about her in real life.
She knows it.
Yeah, I know. She knows what you say about her behind her back.
Just as long as we have a backup.
Would you?
Thanks. Look around, Cafe.
Hey, I'm there for you, you know?
I know, Barbara Day.
I'm there. Yeah, we're all thrilled with our haircuts.
Yes.
We really
nobody
are.
Nobody more than Mr. Boner.
Yeah, they did a great job.
Yes.
We look forward to them visiting again.
Yeah, they are going to be visiting again.
Yes,
right?
They are.
Yeah, good.
I got some blackmail on Mike.
Oh, really?
I just
do.
Remembered.
You mean this?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's not really blackmail because I don't care.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So anyway, I got here later than Mike did today, because
right.
Mike was getting his hair cut. Everybody's doing that. I went upstairs to the office. Oh, and you know, we really should thank the engineers around here.
What's that guy's name, Rob?
Dave Cope. Amazing Dave Cope.
We've gotten the computer Mike wanted.
Yeah.
Now hooked up. The internet is hooked
so
up.
We've got the newsroom is finished.
The TV. The TV's in the room. I mean, just about everything that we've been bitching about has been fixed in our new studio.
Cool.
I went upstairs to the office, and Mike right away said, hey, I'm as happy as a pig in ass.
Mm-hmm.
I got my computer up here. They fixed the internet for me.
Mm-hmm.
TV works.
Right.
And I said, come on, you're kidding. The TV works. And Mike said, pick up the remote. And I thought it was a gag, and I looked at him for a second, and he said, what? And I said, nothing. And he said, I know. He said, look at my hair. He said, look what those listeners did to my hair.
It looks good.
It looks fantastic. You're lying. Tell the truth.
No,
Tell the truth.
It looks good.
I mean, are you happy with yours?
I've been pretty much so.
Okay. Mike,
you can't really judge a haircut until you wash it and then you prepare it the next day. So I was doing a little bit earlier, though, because I got these little bangs coming down on my forehead now.
Mike was doing Julius Caesar thing.
I was doing Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah.
I was doing Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah, right, the Julius Caesar haircut, right.
Yeah, but you know what? Here's the deal. Even if we are not 1,000% satisfied, I think we'd all like to have Rebecca and Christy?
Yes.
We'd like to have them back.
They just need to get used to our hair, and everything will be fine.
I'm going to actually, change styles next time. I'm going to go with a shorter haircut.
Who looks smart now, Kong?
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know what that is?
You and me.
Point for you and me.
That's right. And hi to Lou at my barber shop.
I don't think it's that. I don't think it looks that bad, does it?
You're the one that said it. Not
I know.
Me.
What do you think? I'm asking you your opinion.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi. Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi there, Buzz.
Want to see the back?
Yeah, look at the back.
I think it looks good. I think Joe looks great.
Oh, that's nice. They did a good job.
Nice, Mike.
Mm-hmm. Is it okay?
It's a real good idea to have listeners come down and cut your hair. It's a real good idea. I don't care. I don't care if she's the sweetest piece of ass in the world, which she appeared to be. I mean, both of the women are very nice. Go to our website. We have pictures of these women up there.
Yeah, but we wouldn't have been talking about
it. I get a BJ from a listener, but certainly not a haircut. If you can make it happen,
Johnny. Check those emails.
He's on it.
He's on it.
Okay, John.
I'm on it.
And now here is here's Buzz. Rob, here's that thing I just crumbled up. And
you're gonna need that.
And here's Buzz.
Hi, Donna. Mike.
I'm giving a lecture at the college later.
12 years after her death, someone has been arrested for killing JonBenet Ramsey. The arrest was made in Thailand.
Whoa.
The suspect will be brought to Denver in the next couple of days.
So
that's pretty big.
This is real.
You love it. You think I make this up?
I didn't know if you were like teasing us, trying to get our attention.
No, this is a true story, as all of them are.
This is huge.
Suspect was arrested in Bangkok on unrelated sex crime charges.
I hope the charges stick.
No word on his identity. But he's a 41-year-old who teaches second grade in this country. Police say he's confessed to parts of the crime that only the killer could know.
You know, this proves to be true, and the mother's dead now, right?
Zombany's father has been informed of the arrest. His wife passed away last month from cancer. They were both listed as persons of interest in the case.
Listen,
who didn't think the mother was involved?
We'd have to be among the first to step up and say, oops.
I mean, amazing. Well, at least...
No, the police chief would have to be first.
What a shame. I mean, she passed away before they... that sucks. He said at one point they were, quote, under an umbrella of suspicion. The Ramseys always suspected an intruder. Maybe they were right.
Maybe they're right.
Wow. A woman armed with matches, hand lotion, and a sharp object.
Oh, hold on, Buzz. We're not the...
All right.
We're just waiting for one night in Bangkok.
Yeah,
hurry up. Bomb.
Shut up!
From the musical chat.
Anyway,
a woman arrested or armed with matches, hand lotion, and a sharp object forced a jet from Washington to London to make an emergency landing in Boston today. The woman was apparently agitated. Officials say she was having a panic attack.
Oh, dear.
Who's flying with me next? Fighter jets escorted the plane to Boston where the 59-year-old woman was arrested. Everything turned out okay, but today, of course, was supposed to be the day.
She wasn't connected to Al Qaeda or anything.
No, they say there's no terrorism connection.
No, she had some matches in her pocket,
right?
And she had some hand lotion.
Which you're not supposed to have.
Something sharp.
But but here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
I saw this as breaking news today, right?
Yeah, I was watching it on the Fox.
Talking about it being diverted and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But then they were saying that she got through TSA with whatever cream it was. I mean, there was
I also heard a screwdriver.
But they were not surprised.
That's not correct.
I heard a screwdriver. That's not true.
That's been retracted. And there was also a report she had a note referencing Al Qaeda. That's been retracted.
In a foreign
as well.
Language.
Yeah, but that's not true.
In a language that looks like pictures.
Right.
It was
not Pig Latin. You know, it was one of those King Tut things.
Hieroglyphics.
Thank you. You're all right.
You got the lady that goes, that wigs out on the plane completely.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But she's just got hand lotion and matches. That's it.
And because of that, They diverted the plane to Boston.
That was the pilot's call, yeah. Right.
And then you saw in Boston, if you saw the coverage, hundreds of pieces of luggage that were out on the ground at Logan Airport with dogs going out smelling them.
I'm all for keeping everybody safe, but
right.
Give me a break.
Pilot declared an emergency. Fighter jets escorted him to Logan. Things are not always as they appear, however, when you live in a climate of fear. Take, for example, those three Palestinian-American men who were arrested this week in Detroit and questioned about a plot to blow up a bridge.
Oh, the guys that bought all the phones?
Right. Police and the FBI, acting on a tip from Walmart, stopped a van carrying the men and 1,000 cell phones, 80 of which they just purchased at Walmart. Cell phones have been used to detonate explosives. Turns out, these were three guys who just buy cell phones at Walmart and then resell them at a profit to small stores, which resell them at an even higher price.
Hello, what did I say? Brother had been involved with for many years.
I will give you your props, you did say that.
Maybe not the best enterprise for Palestinian Americans, but certainly within their rights, the FBI says there's no reason to think that they are terrorists either.
Incidentally, I love that band, PLO. I wish they'd get back together.
I love Turn to Stone.
You can't, though, judge a person by the color of their skin, or for that matter, their hair. You can't judge them by their hair either, and I'll explain that when we return.
All right, wrong and wrong. We'll be right back.
Number 4 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
The power of Christ compels them. The power of Christ compels them. The power of Christ compels Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
And now here's Buzz. Excuse me for a moment. That's certainly a wonderful song. That's
quite angry.
It's not Elvis, man.
I like that. I like the angry song.
What happened to my Elvis? Did you put something else in the machine?
I thought I took out Murray Head. Did I not?
You did not. That was still Murray Head in the machine.
A lot of times you get upset when I take this out.
You cannot win for trying, can you?
The whipping boy. This will calm us all down.
That's what we need to come back.
The masters of the Thailand tongue bath. Hey. Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
There you go, Thailand.
That's
all ties in. Once again, on our Elvis Death Show, here is Buzz.
Yes, the man arrested in Thailand today for the murder of JonBenet Ramsey is John Carr. That's the gentleman's name.
Carr!
Police say they have been watching him since the murder itself and that he was questioned in the days immediately following the killing.
Timely.
12 years ago.
12 years. Really, it's 12 years ago?
Yeah, she would have been 18.
Cars. That's right, cars. All about cars. Cars, 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 cars. Here's Rob.
Carr.
John Carr. You cannot, as I was saying when we went to commercial, you can't judge a person by the color of their skin or the color of their hair.
Yes, you can.
Well, let me give you an example. Just because a woman is a redhead doesn't make her a slut.
Yes, it does.
But it usually does mean...
Well, they call the drink the redheaded slut.
Usually, there may be some truth to that it usually does mean she has sex more than most blondes and brunettes.
Right, whore.
A German researcher studied hundreds of women and found that redheads do it more often.
That was such a joke for me.
And have more partners.
Slut, skank, whore.
Than their blonde or brunette counterparts.
You can suck this.
Quoting a psychologist commenting on the study, when a man sees a redhead, he'll think he's dealing with a woman who gets straight to the point.
When are you coming over so I can F you?
When it comes to sex, end quote. As for women who dye their hair red, the survey shows it's because they're looking for a new relationship.
Are you a prostitute?
After a summer of cookouts and ball games, you've probably had your share of hot dogs, red hots, Franks, wieners. After this story, you may have had your fill for life.
Uh-oh.
At ballparks alone, the hot dog industry was expecting to sell enough encased meat byproducts this season.
I sure do miss Michael Jordan doing those ballpark Frank commercials.
If the dogs were laid end-to-end, they would reach from RFK Stadium here in D.C. all the way to AT&T Park in San Francisco. And all beef Frank is not just high in fat cholesterol. It contains chemicals that can alter your DNA.
What?
Exactly.
Did you say they can alter your DNA?
Alter your DNA. Okay, so it worked for the Hulk. Worked for the Hulk and Superman, but you might not be so lucky. A chemist at the University of Nebraska Medical Center say the combination of the preservative sodium nitrate with the naturally occurring salmonella in the meat changes your DNA to make you more prone to cancer.
I hate cancer.
Especially colon cancer.
Oh, well.
The meat industry says, quote, the carcinogenic risk has not been determined.
Carcinogenic. That man's butt is so tight.
How tight is it?
Something with a
it's
robin.
So tight I saw a robin. I can't say anything that's not dirty.
Dipping his worm inside the onion ring.
I'll drink to that.
Now, these Nebraska chemists aren't saying don't eat hot dogs. They're just saying you might not want to enter one of those contests. But also remember these words, live by the intestine, die by the intestine.
Ew.
So, Batman and Superman walk into a bar. The punchline when we continue.
Oh, no, that's cruel. I take my superhero is very serious.
I know
he's a sensitive boy.
He's a
fag.
He's a so sensitive about his comic book.
All right, we'll come back with Mr. Haircut, Mr. Banana in his pants, with his Batman Superman story.
Right.
Number 4 Arbitron rated the Don and Mike show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt.
It's all been
so incredibly fascinating
and
entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
Don and Mike Show.
They want to fart for ye. Don and Mike.
And now, as always, they continue. Here's Buzz Girdley. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Donna Mike.
Hey, friend.
Pickpockets in Berlin have found a new twist on how to distract their targets. They've been throwing human feces on the victims and then offering to wipe it off with paper towels, claiming they saw the hooligans who did it. They'll say they saw someone squatting over the edge of the building above. Almost everyone looks up. In all the chaos, the pickpocket's partner swipes the wallet.
Joe. And you know, and that's two-man job, but Joe's job is go up on top of the building and squat.
Now, don't expect Superman or Batman to help you. Police in Scotland pulled over a suspected drunk driver and found the driver to be dressed as Batman. The guy riding shotgun was also drunk. He was dressed as Superman. Police are not as amused as you might expect. They're charging both men with drunk driving. Quoting a police spokesman, this is a real fall from grace for two superheroes. There is a serious side to this, he says.
Was it really Batman and Superman, or was the guy just dressed up like that?
Well, we don't know. We won't know for sure, really, will we? But, two guys dressed up as Superman and Batman.
To the Batcave, Robin!
Police spokesman said there is a serious side to this. Of course there is. That's why you're hearing it here. I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Well, that's it. I'll see you in the ghetto.
See you in the ghetto.
We got to go. Thank you for a great Elvis show. See you tomorrow with the auto episode.
On a cold and gray.
Good day to you, E.
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 Another baby child is born.
Nice try, Buzz.
In the ghetto.
Look at all the babies we killed.
Look at all them babies. Bye, honey.
So long, guys.
Number 4 Arbitron Rated.
Mom.
The Don and Mike Show.